This is episode number 49 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of October 27th, 2008.
It's time for me to
walk. Coming up on this week's episode, we've got our latest distractions. Jeff gives us our weekly shot of gaming news. For our feature this week, we try and decide if Castlevania, beloved franchise, needs a little freshening up. We'll follow that up with new releases, listener email, and the question of the week, now in open beta.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 49.
49.
My name is Chris Ferricchio, and I am here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hello.
And Jeff Torney.
Word up.
How you guys doing?
Word up.
Doing good, man.
Cool. Well, Jason, what's up this week? Yep. How you doing?
What's up this week? I think I'm physically recuperated from the whole Extra Life thing last week.
Yeah.
The entire week was like, seriously, I had 10 hours of sleep leading up to Extra Life because I was working on the video and stuff, lots of problems with that. So it took a few days for me to actually, you know, start to feel better, but it's all for a good cause.
Did you guys like crash right when the 24 hours was done?
I did.
I started crashing about 23 hours.
Yeah. It was like
maybe 22.
Yeah, it ended at 9 o'clock, and I was fading at about 8:30. So
yeah,
what was the last game you guys played?
Rock Band 2.
Rock Band.
Oh man,
that's how we ended. We ended on Rock Band 2, and we had to down the difficulty one, so because we were just out of it.
That and I was playing bass too.
Yeah,
and I never play guitar. So. Yeah.
But yeah, you're playing bass on hard drums, right?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, yeah. I was impressed by that. I thought you only went to medium.
No, I was all the way on hard. Hell yeah! No, we had to keep it down because I've got an old lady underneath us, so she hasn't complained about anything yet. But
that's
I didn't want to push it.
Yeah, yet. Yeah, being
that would have been a hell of a way to end Extra Life. You know, yeah. Training for the kids with the cops knocking at the door.
Have her coming up. You guys have been loud all night. I haven't been able to sleep.
We actually had that happen one time. We went to Ira's house, and he lived below an old lady, actually. And she got pissed because this was after bar close or whatever. And we were a little too loud, whatever. You know, we were scaring Jay with midgets or, you know, whatever. The old lady came down. It kicked in the door.
What?
I didn't think she had it. She kicked in the door. I mean, it wasn't locked or anything, but she actually, raised a leg, pushed, kicked open door. Came into the middle of the living room and stared everyone down and said, "Keep it the hell down."
Damn. That woman's hardcore, like man.
Yeah. She was pissed. Very pissed.
She would have fucked you up if you would have kept doing it.
I wasn't about to. Like, nobody would say anything besides me. And all I could muster up was, "Ma'am, I'm really sorry." And she's like, "You better be." And then everyone was just so scared that she just walked back upstairs. So
damn.
Yep.
Interesting.
Luckily,
stories
that didn't happen
by Jason Stryker.
Yeah. I got a shit ton of them.
Yeah. After I've met your friends, I can imagine. Cool. Well, Jeff, what's up, man? How you doing this week?
Good. Feeling better. Much better than last week. I thought I was getting sick last week, but so far, so good. I don't have the Extra Life hangover because, unfortunately, I couldn't do it with you guys, which made me sad. I was actually jealous. What was that?
Well, this weekend is makeup weekend. If you're not doing anything,
is this makeup weekend
for the kids?
Yeah, I can see if I can work this it weekend. In. I might have to break it up into like 2 12-hour shifts, but I might be able to do it.
But, excuse me.
I like how you guys have the whole schedule. Feed thing. I gotcha. That was awesome.
What's that?
The who? I don't know. Let's all talk at the same time again.
That's a good idea. We're good at that. Jeff, what'd you say?
I'll get caught up, but I like watching you guys. It was a lot of fun interacting in the shout box there.
Yeah, I was really impressed at how many people were involved. You know, I mean, because there was at one point that we had like 100 people watching the feed, and about 60 or 70 of them were in the chat box. I mean, granted, there's people that just kind of start up the feed and left it idle, but still, I mean, the chat box was active all night, you know, from the time we started till the time we stopped, it was active. Even when we were playing Castle Crashers and Lisa had gone to bed.
Boring everyone.
You know, that was like 3 or 4 hours of people just chatting back and forth without us being there. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I was impressed. worked out really well.
I know I nodded off a couple times during Castle Crashers.
Did you really?
Like, I was in autopilot mode, and I know I was just mashing on buttons, and then I'd wake up, you know, real quick, and then I'd look at the screen, and there's, like, no enemies around me, but I'm still, like, swinging like a madman.
I didn't notice, to be honest.
Good.
I think it's because I was so damn tired, too. It's just, like, whatever. Jeff, did you listen to The Goo? Their little Extra Life podcast thing?
I need
the
to.
Slow degradation of
dude,
yeah, that's, I'm definitely going to check that out.
It's awesome. It's hilarious because it's like they're all perky and happy at the beginning. It's like it's a 2-hour show, right? And they're perky and happy. And then by about 3/4 of the way through the show, it just starts going downhill. And it's like, this is Scott.
Scott's like banging
doing
his head on the mic
thing
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Adam's like, hi, Internet. You know, actually, Scott, Adam... You know, he actually held his composure for most of it, but Scott was going fast, man. But it's a really funny episode, and they actually they did like 2 or 3 little 5-minute podcast things while we were playing Castle Crashers. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to hear that because I remember like I can hear the music in the background and everything. It was pretty funny.
Cool, mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Well, if we're going to be talking about Extra Life here real quick, I did want to give, you know, a huge shout out to everybody involved. Mm-hmm. You know, this was a really, really cool experience. It was a blast. And, yeah. You know, I do complain about it, you know, being tired or whatever. This bullshit. I had a super amount of fun. You know, so huge kudos to everybody who hung out with us,
stayed
kept
up with
awake,
us. Played games with
donated
us.
Donated too. I mean, we did an amazing job. You guys really...
Yeah, it was
really
success.
Rocked this out. We raised over $900.
Yep.
Almost broke the $1,000 mark.
Not quite.
But, not quite. Almost. But it was just a super cool experience.
Yeah, VG Evo as a whole has raised, like, well over $3,000.
Yeah.
For,
it was really successful.
Yeah, so a very successful event. And, you know, after – Jeff, you were asking about, like, if we crashed right afterwards. I pretty much left Jason's house, came home, and – about 9:30, I hit my pillow and I was out.
Out cold.
Done. Yeah.
And you know, the whole thing with my mom being in the hospital, I've been visiting her every day, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you know, Crystal comes up at like 3:00 and she goes, "Baby, I hate to wake you up, but we got to go see your mom." Oh, and I look at the clock and it's like 3:00. I'm like, "Holy shit! I can't believe I slept." Yeah. You know, until 3:00 in the afternoon. And, but you know, I got up and we went and saw my mom, came home. I was in bed by 10 and the next morning I actually felt fine. So I got lucky on that part, but
yeah, you did.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a blast. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Totally.
And, awesome. It's actually to the point where, I was talking to Jason the next time when we start doing Rock Band nights again, I'm thinking about streaming them.
Yeah, man. I couldn't believe how many people were actually interested in it. And people were just like shouting out songs and stuff. And we actually got a couple of requests. Well, no, we got a shit ton of requests.
We every song we did was
money.
Requested.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Now, I got to ask, did Jason sing?
Jason sang.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
And he's good. I mean, he sits there and says he's not.
No.
Okay, he did Foreplay Long Time, okay? And that's not an easy song to sing. But... He got on hard. He got 63%, and he was fucking around half the time.
Nice.
Yeah, he did.
I was trying really,
really good.
Hard, man.
What's that?
I was trying really hard for the kids, so I knew that because the dude that made the deal, and let's back that up. The dude actually, we thought was someone else. We thought it was someone from our work, but it was someone else entirely. So, man, I really apologize for calling you Southern because you don't know how much of an insult that is. Or Southern, I'm kidding.
I sang too, but it was you know, someone asked me to sing and I was like, "Oh, who asked me to sing?" And it was Crystal and I was like, "Ah." It's Crystal, I can't ask her to donate, you know. I was going to say, "Hey, what are you going to donate?" And it was Interstate Love Song by Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, that's an easy
one to sing. That's easy song to sing. So I was like, "Yeah, I'll sing that shit. You could, you know, $10. I'll do it for that."
Well, yeah, anyway, this dude offered up. He's like, okay, you know, he hopped in the room and he's like, all right, I want Jason to sing Foreplay, Long Time. And, he made a couple offers like 10 bucks,
20 25
bucks. I'm like, dude, I have a phobia about singing. I have never sang even in front of my friends.
Throw up.
I almost did afterwards. Anyway, But no, eventually it came down to I had to play it on hard, and for every percentage point that I got, he would donate $1. Yep. So
that's pretty cool.
63%, 63 bucks.
And the way this came to be is that one of our other listeners, Hairraiser on VG Evo, mm-hmm. he actually wanted me to sing the song, and he was going to do that. I got that email the day before, and when this guy started asking Jason to sing it, I told him, I said, dude, we got an offer to do this. And I told him what the offer was, and he said, okay, I'll match that. And the cool part was Hairraiser came back like later that in the morning, basically, and asked if any of us sang it. And I said, yeah, someone actually got Jason to sing it. And we told him what the percentage was, and he donated the $63 too, and then donated another $37 on top. He just said, $100, here you go. I was like,
$100.
Yeah. I was like, that is awesome. So we had a lot of cool ass people hanging out with us. A lot of
generous people out there, man. Like, that's awesome. Everyone has a good time with that kind of thing, you know. Yeah. You get to watch Jace make an ass of himself, and you get to get $100. So.
And I was making an ass of myself. Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't take much though, right?
Oh man. Nope. Didn't take much at all.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Like, that was the sweatiest mic I've ever handled. Ever. Ever.
Ever.
Well, what else happened? We had a shit ton of people over, like our friends.
We had
so
friends
they'd come
over.
And tag, you know, us out so we can get a break or whatever. Just an awesome time all around. I couldn't believe how many people were in the chat room the entire time that hung out with us. So we should do this more often.
Yeah, I think I was gonna say. Yeah. It was fun. Everyone just joining in. We're like, hey guys, we're gonna play Soul Calibur. The room's gonna be up. Whoever wants to join, Michael Hara, you're no longer invited.
No, don't tell him that because he'll take it seriously. Because Chris made mention that he's like, dude, man, you're kicking everyone's ass. You can't play anymore. And then he signed out, and he was like,
you're
he's
bad.
Done.
Yeah. And then half the time, then the rest of the time, I was like, dude, Mike, I was just kidding, man. You know. So
that's okay. It opened up some epic battles for Trickman, Terry, and I.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was so cool.
And we got to play 8-player co-op on the Resistance beta. That was pretty cool. But it was I actually got to be a medic, and the medic is weird, but it's fun.
Medic.
You know? Cool. The game in general is just really fun, so.
It's really orange
like it,
too.
But I'll get to that later.
What's that?
I don't like the co-op, but I'll get to that later.
Oh, okay.
And yes, it is very orange.
It is. You're right. Cool. Well, I guess that kind of covers Extra Life. We did. Yeah. So
thank
we
you
did around $900. We don't know exactly how much we did because the PayPal stuff never came through. But our credit card donations were sitting
at $715.
The PayPal
stuff went to Texas Children's Hospital directly.
Yeah.
It just didn't show up in our totals. So it did go through. Just didn't show up for us.
Right. It went through to the charity, but not on our page. Yeah. So. But, so it was very successful, and I am very happy, and I would definitely do it again. It was a lot of fun. And that kind of gives us a starting point for a live show. Hopefully we can get one of those going.
Yeah, oh, yeah. There's a big show coming up soon, right? And who knows?
Hopefully.
Big number 52.
Is there a big show coming up? 52? What's the significance of that?
I don't know.
Isn't that like a...
52.
One
there's
unit.
Like 52 weeks in a year.
Yeah, something like that.
Once a year.
It's actually my birthday, but whatever, guys.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, cool. That was Extra Life. That was a lot of fun. And then let's see. What else we got going on? We have the Find a Fourth contest going on. We've gotten a total of 3 entries now. Mm-hmm. So you guys get your entries in because remember there is an entry minimum. So get them in. We'd love to hear them. So, just do a record a voicemail and send it to us at email@interactivedistractions.com. If you want more information, it's on VG Evo. So go check it out. Real quick, also the MMO, Project Free MMO that we're going to do in January. So if you have any suggestions for free MMOs that you might want us to play, you can find that information on VG Evo as well.
I totally
find all kinds of
fast
cool
forward
ones lately.
In 2 hours.
What?
Because this is usually cleanup stuff. That's fine.
No, see,
we're changing it up.
Oh, no.
No, it's changing it up. It's good.
No, because this is actually like the space that I wanted to put this kind of shit, And I always just do it at the end, and that's not what I meant to do. So,
well, hey, it only took 49 episodes for
exactly
you wanted to.
Exactly. Finally got it right.
Process.
Hey, there was another big thing that happened this week.
What's that?
I think
you won a race.
We got nominated for something.
Well, we did. Oh, I don't even want to delay this. I don't even want to. That's just awesome.
Go ahead, blow your load, Jeff. It's cool.
You guys, everyone out there is fucking awesome. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Jason, Jeff, and I, as Interactive Distractions, have been nominated for 2008 Best Gaming Podcast from podcastawards.com. So thank you guys for all those who nominated for us. Did you guys go out and vote for us?
I did. I voted for us just kind of as a side thing. I actually went to go vote for like a totally rad show and, you know, 1UP FM and such. And I threw us in the Best Gaming Podcast just for the hell of it. I had no friggin' clue. Never in a million years would I think that we'd, you know,
make the
actually
top 10?
Get nominated. Yeah. You know, about a year ago, we just started the show and we were actually congratulating people that won this award.
Yeah, we're a cheap-ass award. Gamer. I remember that.
You know, we had joked that, you know, oh yeah, we'll be on there next year. We'll win it next year. Totally not thinking that we had any chance in hell.
Yeah, absolutely. So this has been a huge surprise from us. I mean, it's
huge.
That's how I woke up on Monday. That was the first thing that I actually saw on Monday when I went online. I went straight to VG Evo and I looked and the first topic that I saw in our thread was who was it? Animated that posted
animated
it.
Animated fan, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
And it said that we've been nominated. I'm like, what? And you know, I click on the link, and all of a sudden, it's like the room lit up because I was glowing so fucking much. It was crazy. but yeah, so thank you guys very much for all those who nominated us. And if you would like to vote for us, you can do that at podcastawards.com. And you know, we are by far a long shot, but you know, just as I've been saying in threads and stuff, it's just really cool to be mentioned in the same breath as some of these shows.
That's the thing, because like the one thing for me is 1UP Yours was the first podcast I ever started listening to.
Yeah, me too.
Like, years back.
Yeah.
And then I just remember being like, these guys are awesome. I want to do something like this. That's what got me interested in actually doing one in the first place. And then being on a list with them and Giant Bomb, even though Giant Bomb's new, but they're still the old GameSpot guys. They still are crazy popular. And just being on that list enough is enough for me just to be like, wow, this is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I still can't believe it.
Yeah. I keep going back and like, are we really on there? You know? So, it was crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, we're so excited just to be on that list. So thank you guys so much.
Yes. Without you guys, there's no way in hell we could have had a chance. So.
That's right. So, because especially the people that listen and send emails and stuff, you guys make this show interesting for us to do and interesting for people to listen to. So, you know, this is your show too. So, you know, awesome.
Thank you. Also, you can vote multiple times, once per day or something like that. We don't want your grandma to like vote for us or anything like that. Or your mom, because she already does a ton for us anyway. But, I mean, if you think that we deserve it, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, we're not the type of people that are going to beg for votes. You know, we threw up some topics and we sent out a message on Facebook. And that's pretty much all you're going to hear about it. You know, we're going to mention it. We're mentioning it now. We're going to mention it on the next show because the voting is still going to be going on. And then that's going to be it. So, you know, you guys, if you guys want to vote for us, go vote for us. If you don't, that's cool too.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're good right now.
We're quite happy where we are. It's fine.
Good.
Yeah. Yep. And either way, we're still going to do it every week. It's not like it's going to change anything.
But we didn't win the award. Screw this.
Yeah, really. That's it. I give up. We're not doing this anymore. We're not good enough. So, okay, cool. Well, let's get to it.
What the hell?
All right. Jason, what's distracting you this week?
Extra Life distracted the hell out of me this week and the video stuff. So we already kind of covered the stuff that I've played so far, so no big surprises. One thing I didn't mention, we did play some Wipeout HD, which was fun. Played that online and at the sacrifice of the feed, actually, because apparently it gets a little stuttery if we're playing online and, you know, streaming video
across
the internet. Who knew?
Yeah, probably would.
What the hell? So Rock Band 2. We also played some really shitty fighting games, Street Fighter EX3.
that was
some
awesome.
Good fighting games, Street Fighter Alpha. Another shitty game, Earth Defense Force. That was fun.
Earth Defense Force is not shitty.
It is a shitty game.
But it's fun as hell to play.
Starship Troopers is like a shitty movie, but a fun movie.
It's a B game.
Yeah, exactly. And I tried to get John to hold off, you know, so we could play it with you. I told him you'd be pissed, but
I got to play it a little bit.
He didn't want to listen.
Yeah.
What the hell else did we do? So yeah,
Gears. We played some Gears.
Oh, we played a little bit of Gears. Oh my god, horrendous.
Okay, that is what I woke up to you guys playing, and I was just like, oh god, it hurt to watch.
I make no apologies. No apologies.
That's right.
I suck at first person shooters. Well, even third-person shooters, obviously. I try.
And you played on Super the fucking Casual, too, didn't you?
Yeah, Super the fucking Jason mode.
See, the thing is that I didn't... while I'm playing on Hardcore, I didn't have, Jeff blaring in there with his guns, like, ah! And then dying. He usually takes out one or two guys before he dies, so, you know, clears the path for me to go resurrect him.
Leroy Jenkins moment. Man.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Was it really that bad, Jeff?
No.
Did we suck that
bad?
No,
it wasn't.
No, it wasn't that bad. Okay. It wasn't that bad until somebody shouted out in the chat box that you guys were playing on casual, and I was like, wow.
I'm like, damn it. Keep it quiet.
I figured it was hardcore.
Well, we started off on like normal or whatever.
We started off on hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't last long.
Right.
That's all right. At least you guys tried, right?
Yep.
Yes.
We did.
For the kids.
And I did see you at a difficult part. You guys were at the Berserker, which if it was the first time fighting it. I know it was Jason's first time fighting it. It's kind of difficult.
That's my first time really playing the game. Shit.
Yeah. And split screen is a lot tougher than online.
Yeah.
It's a lot tougher. Because you can't see half the stuff that's going on. So
it's not kind to me.
Right. Sure, but we had fun. We played Castle Crashers 2.
Mm-hmm.
Front to back.
Oh, with Scott and Adam from Welcome to the Goo. Mm-hmm. That was a ton of fun.
Yep.
I think my favorite part was that, this is going to sound weird, but my favorite part was that Adam didn't have a mic. Not that I didn't want to hear him. It's just that whenever Chris would say something to Adam, Scott would have to relay it to Adam. And hijinks, wackiness.
Yeah, Jason and I were both wearing mics and Adam wasn't. So, and I was just talking like Adam was there.
That's funny.
And Scott would have to remind me, you know, he doesn't have a mic, right? And I'm like, fuck.
Well, you guys played Resistance 2, so let's get into that, because I want to talk about that too anyway, so let's get that out of the way.
All right.
Okay. We're all out of order. Tell with it.
Well, I figure if you're going to mention
I've mentioned
2,
it before,
well
there's a fuck ton of orange.
Yes, it's very orange.
And you can go ahead and comment on that. That's really what I took out of it.
Yeah. Even the you guys play the competitive mode too?
No.
No.
That's very, the level they put in that too is also very orange and red. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, weird color scheme.
I know what you're going to say about the co-op mode. So
probably.
Because I know you have a complaint. Go ahead and say your complaint.
I have a bunch of complaints with the co-op mode. First night I tried it, got the beta key, installed it, and I joined up with Solid Knight from VGEvo. We were playing just the two of us, and some random person joined. So we picked our classes and everything got put out there. And I guess co-op, it randomizes the level. You're in the same level, but it randomizes where you are, like what sections of the level you go to in which order.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We got put in the part where there's kind of like a, not a barn, I don't know what it is, kind of like a restaurant thing, and there's like these gun turrets around it and a bunch of chimera, and they're just shooting at you. And it was ridiculously hard. Like, there was only three of us. The two of them were medics, and I was started off as a soldier, then I switched to a spec ops. And we just got nowhere. Like, we literally couldn't do it. We didn't know what the hell to do. We gave up, went to the competitive mode, which I think is much improved over Resistance 1. It just seems a lot better. Yeah, the speed of it seems a lot slightly slower. Still faster than the average console first-person shooter, but it's a scene more like with a sniper rifle, you can hit guys more accurately and stuff. So the competitive mode, I really don't have any complaints with per se. It feels like Resistance, plays like Resistance. It's good. But the next night, I joined up with some people from VGEvo, and we were playing, and there was four of us, and it was much easier right off the bat, because it didn't put us in that really difficult spot right away. So that was a cool thing about it. But the game plays like an MMO. The enemies are basically just bullet sponges, that have no personality whatsoever. And the guns that you use make no difference at all. Like, I was a Spec Ops. It took about 10 headshots to drop a Chimera. And I'm like, this is, what's the point of having a sniper rifle if you can't drop them with a headshot? Like, shouldn't that be the whole Spec Ops thing? If you have a sniper rifle,
I was going to say, that was their big deal. Are you sure it's not operator error, Jeff?
I'm a positive. Because we're all, there's like those boss type characters you get to. And the first one we got to had a, well, it glitched out. First of all, I was just walking in circles. Then I started walking into a wall and just kept walking into the wall. So it was the four of us just shooting at it over and over and over again, watching its hit points slowly go down. And it really just slowly chips away. I understand the more you level up, your guns get more powerful. That's fine. And because I'm the Spec Ops, I run out of ammo pretty quickly, but then I can refuel my ammo. So I was like, shoot, give myself ammo, shoot, this over and over again. And I just feel like a lot of people, some people have been saying that the AI is good in this game. It's, again, it's like an MMO. It's good in the terms of they have, it's like you being level 1 going up against a bunch of level 12s, and that they have way more powerful shit than you do. It's not that they're doing anything smarter than you. They don't move. If you see a Chimera behind a rock, you start shooting at it, it's not moving anywhere. It might move like in a 5-foot radius in a certain area, but that's about it. They don't try to flank you or nothing. And I know it's just the beta, but they put out this beta 3 weeks before the game releases, basically. So how far off is that going to be? Yeah. And my biggest complaint is that it just seems like an MMO. It feels like it's all about experience, and the enemies do not play like the enemies do in the actual, in Resistance, the campaign, like from the first one, and it looks by the second one with videos, it doesn't look the same. They just kind of look, they seem like they act like MMO characters, basically, where they just have a certain amount of hit points. No matter where you hit them, damage doesn't change. I took the sniper rifle, started shooting the guy in the foot, same amount of damage he was doing than if I shot him in the head. And I was like, oh man, this is just, it was fun because there was four of us playing the game, and we're just kind of like bantering back and forth and kind of trying to strategize, and they do like come at you in swarms, so you are kind of tense and kind of, okay, let's do this. But when it came down to, like, especially those little boss battles, that was just, I was like, oh my god. Like, I contemplated switching my input on my TV to watch TV, but have the sound still coming out and just keep shooting, because the creature was kind of glitched and wasn't doing anything. So I was like, okay, just keep pulling the trigger. And yeah, I wasn't a big fan the first two times I played it. Hopefully I don't know. Did you guys get that feeling at all from the enemies?
I did, actually, yeah. And I think we had the same kind of experience with one of the boss battles as well, where he just stood there, like, up against this post, and there were probably four or six of us that were just unloading into this guy, and for minutes on end, you know?
Yeah, it took about 5 minutes.
I am bored now, officially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. And I understand where they're going. They're trying to get people, like, addicted to the whole leveling up thing, which will work. People will get addicted to it. But it doesn't play like a shooter for me. And I want Resistance to play. Like, I was hoping it was going to be the same kind of action you'll find in the campaign mode, but with 8 people, and just make it harder in a different way. Not just by just cranking up the hit points on the enemies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying about the MMO thing. Yeah, that does feel like a boss battle in an MMO. Mm-hmm. But even those are a little more engaging.
Yeah,
you got to be on top of stuff, you know?
You have different attacks that you can do and stuff like that. And this one, it's just, you're shooting.
This literally was, a bunch of people just aiming at the same thing and just holding down the fire button. Yeah.
See, I had fun with it, but it was more fun because of the fact that, you know, we're playing with 8 people and, you know, that kind of thing. It wasn't, but it's like, I'll tell you one thing. It was a lot more interesting being a medic because I had something else to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was running around, and, you know, the medic's gun is basically a laser of some sorts, and it's like when the laser hits an enemy, it sucks their life away and basically creates like a med bomb, and, you know, you shoot the med bomb and it heals everyone around you. So that gave me something else to do. You know, it's like, okay, well, I see this guy over here, he needs to be healed, so I'll run over there and I'll heal him, and while I'm running, I'll be shooting this guy, you know. But the gun itself is very weak. It's like I barely got any kills because, you know, the gun doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And when I did switch over to the regular gun, I did notice that it took forever to kill something.
Yeah.
You know,
it takes ridiculous amounts of time.
But, and I mean, that's all stuff that can be tweaked. So
it's stuff that can be tweaked, but I can see why they did it, because I figure if there's going to be 8 people playing, I would have rather them tone down the graphics, which, by the way, I wasn't impressed by the graphics in the quad mode at all, either. It looked like...
Oh, it was bad for us, too, because we were split-screen, and everything kind of downscaled a little bit. So it was okay. It was,
but everything moved okay, though.
Yeah, it did move. It was.
Yeah,
I didn't see any frame rate drops or anything.
I would have rather them done something. Just forget about the up hit points and just throw more Chimera at you. If there's going to be 8 people in there, or that it scales to how many people are playing, that would be much better in my opinion, or at least much more engaging. Because I don't know. Once you got to those boss type battles, it was just a snooze fest. So I'm still going to get the game. I'm still hyped up for the campaign mode. And of course, the campaign mode, the regular one, I think is co-op to 4 players this time, 2 or 4, so that's still going to be pretty badass. Just the one mode I was really looking forward to just didn't do it for me in the beta, so we'll see what happens when it comes out.
Yeah, I'll keep at it, too. Didn't have a bad time. I mean, it's important to note that, you know?
It was kind of fun. We had fun playing it. It's obvious that there are some things that need to be tweaked, but it was still fun to play.
Yeah, this is just kind of a case. Yeah, we were all, I think, really hyped up about this.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah, for sure.
And we actually donated a couple beta keys. People gave us donations for beta keys, and they jumped on and played with us at that time, too. So that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anything co-op is fun, though, right? So
agreed.
I would have never played if that game, if you could put AI and you could just play that mode by yourself, I probably wouldn't touch it.
No, same here. I would not touch it at all. Because the fun is playing with the other people. Exactly. And the big problem that we had, Jason and I had, is that we couldn't really hear or talk to anybody over PSN at the time because of the fact that we were running the feed. Like, every once in a while, we would hear someone over the speakers.
Yeah.
But it's like it's hard to communicate with them, and even through the feed, it's like you say something and it doesn't show up on the feed until like 10-11 seconds later. So, you know, it's hard to communicate. For us, it was hard to communicate with people.
Yeah. True.
Anything else you've been playing, Jason?
No, not that I can think of.
Oh, so Bionic
I'm
Commando.
Still really looking forward to it. Oh yeah, we played a little bit of Bionic Commando.
Yeah.
That didn't last long though.
Yeah. We only went through the first 3 stages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we played it on hard, so that was fun.
We didn't even do it on super the fucking hardest. I wanted to, but no, super senior pussy pants.
That's
over
right.
There, Chris.
I will happily accept. I will happily accept that title. Considering, I mean, the goal of Extra Life was not to get ass raped on this feed.
I thought that wasn't happening.
That'd be funny.
Hey, look! There's an enemy. Oh, I'm dead.
Yeah, didn't they say? Yeah. I remember that playing Gears. I was like, I'm going to make a drinking game. I should have people over now, and every time you guys die, we take a drink. We're hammered by 9:30.
That game would last long because people would be drunk before you know it.
No doubt. Now, I can't think of anything else. I'm still looking forward to Warhammer since I'm done with the video and stuff, which should actually be in the next day or two, probably tomorrow. So you guys probably have already seen it by the time you're hearing.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Hopefully. Cool. So that's it for you?
Yeah. Cool. That's it, man.
Jeff, take it away, man.
All right. Okay. Well, we got Resistance 2 out of the way. Played some more Buzz. Finally got to try it online. Played with Philip J. Fry. We had a couple games the other day. And,
nice. Cool.
It's a lot of fun online. I like it. They take different game types. Remember last time I was saying how I wish there was more variety in game types?
Yeah.
They are different game types online, but they are still the same 4 or 5 cam member that you will play online. So they're just... they're separated, but you're still going to play the same 4 over and over again, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still okay. Okay. They're still fun. At one point, not the same day, a different day, I was playing with my neighbor. We're both playing on my PS3 against people online. And I swear this dude either knew every single question because he's played it so much, or we were playing against Ken Jennings because he knew everything, every answer. It was ridiculous. And I was like, are you serious? Like, people online have managed to ruin trivia games? Unless he's just really, really smart. But it was insane. But it's a lot of
griefers
fun
down there.
Yeah.
Dude, we gotta hook up and do some couch mode action.
We should.
Because we bought it, actually. We haven't plugged it in yet, though. Like, the batteries are sitting in the remotes, but we're just waiting to play.
Nice. It's a lot of fun. We'll do
I want to try it anytime.
Buzz, actually, Sigma Omega from VJVO actually created a couple of quizzes that you can download. Because you can download quizzes on there. So I'm just going to give them a quick rundown.
That's so
here.
Awesome.
Yeah, one of them is the VG Evo quiz number 1. It's under the lifestyles and video games section. So you can go download that. That's basically the questions are, what do you know about VG Evo? Another one is a Mega Man trivia quiz, which you can actually find on VG Evo as well in one of the threads. But it has since been put on Buzz. You can download that. It's called Mega Man Trivia Quiz. So There you go. And he's working on a third one, which is actually the VG Evo Quiz number 2. These are all under lifestyle video games, by the way. They're going to be basically, what do you know about VG Evo podcast network shows and the hosts of the podcast? Uh-oh, so hopefully shit. That'll be up soon. So
he's going to tell all of our secrets.
PS so, Nation, yeah, actually, Mark made their own too just for their show.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Lots of good inside stuff there.
And the answer is Sasquatch, not Aardvark. Shouldn't mention that. Sorry, Ricky.
Right.
No, they were giving away a beta code or something, and Glenn goes on the chat box and says, "Okay, I said the answer to a Buzz trivia question on the podcast. What was it?" And Ricky, like IMs me, and he goes, "What was it? What was it?" And I couldn't remember for the life of me what it was, and I was like, "I don't know, it was Aardvark or something." And he answered it, and Glenn gave him a code anyway. He's like, "No, it's Sasquatch." I'm like, "Sasquatch, Aardvark, same thing."
Yeah, you know, totally the same.
Close enough.
All right, moving on. All right. Played some more Dead Space. That game I'm really starting to like now. I remember last week was kind of iffy on it. It's a lot scarier, but still not scary in the way I want it to be. It's just a hell of a lot of jumpy scares now in places where I wouldn't expect them. And again, in places I would expect them, and they still scare the shit out of me. So
okay. That's
good. I got used to the whole camera angle being so close. That's not a problem anymore. I don't feel like I'm whatever my analogy was last week. I can't remember. Or a metaphor. But yeah, I got to some outer space segments. Sorry?
Claustrophobic. That's what you said.
That kind of
anyway.
Thing. Yeah, it kind of opens up a little bit. I got to a couple outer space segments, which are awesome just for atmosphere. You walk out into kind of like an airlock, and you're actually out in space. Like, say, Ooh. Part of the ship has like a big hole in it. And what happens is all the sound effects, all the music just shut off. And
nice.
All you
oh, no
hear
way.
Is your character breathing in the mask. And it's just so cool because you can see, nice. You can look out and see like the moon and like these asteroids floating. And I'm just like, this is so cool. Like, this is one of the coolest things. And you can only be out there for a certain amount of time. And I just want to sit there and look. I'm like, oh, gotta get back in the ship. So
you just sold me on it. Damn. Yeah, nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
See, I like it when games do that because, and TV shows too. It's like people don't realize there is no sound in space.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if for the game to actually cut everything off, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I love
it's
it.
It's friggin' amazing. It's just like, because you open up the airlock and all you see all the air gets sucked out of the airlock and you go out there and then all of a sudden it's just silent.
Nice.
And you're just like, whoa. And yeah.
It's one, it's attention to detail and you know, two, it's you know, actually creating atmosphere.
Yeah.
In a way.
Oh, yeah.
By cutting you off from that. Oh, that's neat.
It's really cool. And I love the whole battle mechanic in that game, like the shooting mechanic, because it does play a lot like Gears and Resident Evil, but just the fact that you can dismember anything and the guns aren't actually shooting bullets, it's shooting like this, they're like cutters, so they shoot you can't see it, but they're like invisible lasers that basically slice through stuff, like at least mm-hmm. the two main weapons you start with, and it's just so
well, yeah, you're not going to find like machine guns or anything, right? Because this was like a mining colony, and you're just kind of picking up stuff on the fly, right? So
exactly.
Like tools that they would use. Cool.
Yeah, and you can upgrade them and do all this crazy stuff and decapitate the creatures and stuff. And I fought my first kind of somewhat boss battle, which is really, really cool. You're fighting in this big kind of open area and this huge thing. So it's pretty cool. I'm really liking it now. Haven't touched it in a few days, but that's because I picked up Fable 2, a game that I wasn't going to, but I decided to because I'm a sucker. And sorry, what were you going to say?
No, that's fine. You can be a sucker. I'm going to be a sucker tomorrow once Payday hits. So.
Sweet.
So tell me what I'm going to be experiencing.
Guys are killing me.
Well, I'll tell you, Jason, because me being the X-Bot that I am, this is
you are.
My instant Fable 2
also
game
jerk.
Of the year.
Also asshole. Sorry.
All three. But no, it's...
Somebody will get that. Anyway.
Maybe. Maybe someone.
I got... Fuck. Picked it up. Played it for a couple hours the first night. I actually got it a day early. I was lucky enough and put it in there. And at first I was like, okay, it's Fable with pretty graphics. I was like, okay, honestly, I wasn't really impressed. Oh, I was impressed, but I wasn't blown away. I was like, okay, this didn't blow me away like the first time I played Fable 1, which I was like, well, this is really cool shit. but after playing the last couple of days, I'm realizing how much different it is from Fable 1. The first way is in Fable 1, only really your character changed with what you did. None of the towns really did. The way the characters in the towns, the way they reacted to you did change depending on whether they liked you or not. But the towns never changed. But what Fable 2 does, instead of having it like, okay, you're a kid for like basically the tutorial, then you become an adult. It fast forwards 10 years. So now there's intervals in the game where after you've completed certain parts of the main quest, it'll shoot forward 10 years. But based on what you've done in the segment before that, it actually changes the towns. So the very first segment, basically tutorial, you're like a, I don't know, an 8-year-old kid or something. And you do these kind of what you think are minor little changes. But one of them, I played this part good to this point. The rest of the gameplay, actually decided I'm going to go evil. But I decided at the beginning, I'm going to be a good guy this time because I played Fable 1 evil. So you get to a part where you have to go into this guy's stock room and kill these beetles for him. And as you go in, this guy comes down and goes, hey, kid, instead of, you know, killing these beetles, I'll give you double the gold if you destroy all the stock. And I'm like, basically was like, no, F you, man. I'm a good guy. I'm going to go in there and help this guy out. He's like, oh, I'll remember this, whatever. You could have been big things. And he just like takes off. So anyway, I do all that kind of good stuff. I fast forward past that part. And then I go into that town again. And everyone's like, hey. Sorry. Right before that, you meet one of the officers in there. I guess like kind of one of the cops, I'll say. The knights, and he asks you to find these warrants for him to arrest these people from this like clan or whatever. So you help him out and do that. You can help him or not help him. So I helped him, of course, trying to be good. So talking to my friend the next day, who is
doing such a nice guy.
I know, I'm such a great guy. So not a jerk. He's doing an evil from the beginning. So in my world, when I came back to that town 10 years later, they're like, hey, I remember you. You helped me out. Thanks to you, this city is now flourishing with people from everyone's so happy. There's like no crime, blah, blah. When my friend's game, that town is overridden with crime. It's a lot darker. There's like bums and stuff on the street. There's a lot more crime. So it's that part of that town is way different than the town that I'm in, that same one.
Very
which
cool.
I think is pretty cool. And apparently this does this throughout the entire game. Like after you do certain points, it fast forward 10 years, and then your effects will, you know, show in the actual game, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Another thing that I really, really, really like, and I didn't really realize this till yesterday, is, you know, the whole orb system where they're kind of telling you about co-op. You'll see like your friends online as these orbs floating around.
Yeah.
And that's what it does. It has the orbs and you walk up to them. They have like whoever's on your friends list, their name plus their little gamer pick inside the orb. And I thought, okay, that's kind of cool. It's kind of lets you show that there's people playing the game with you. But then yesterday, I'm walking around, and I hear a voice. I'm like, what the hell is that? So I'm like, I didn't invite anyone to my game. What's going on? And then, so I put on my headset. I'm like, hello? Someone's like, hello? I'm like, dude, who is that? And I turn around, someone on my friend's list, and there's an orb in the same area I'm in. I'm like, so you can just talk to people if you're in the same area as their orb.
Neat.
Like, that's even though they're freaky. Not in your game. That's cool, because... I think I want every single-player role-playing game to have, like, if Oblivion had that, it would have been awesome, because I think it gives it a little bit more life. You don't feel as alone in the world.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I'd walk up somewhere and be like, oh, I see an orb. I want to see who it is, and then go up there, and now I play this game with my headset on all the time, even though I'm not playing co-op or anything. Just a thing. And you can trade and stuff through that, so you don't have to actually invite them in the game. You can just select their icon and be like, hey, what do you want to do? You can give them gold, you can give them items, you can trade items, and just be like, all right, well, be on your way, do your thing. I'm going to go do my thing. Kind of thing. Yeah,
well, Jeff, actually, I still haven't grasped the whole co-op thing, because you have, you know, you're very, well, your world, actually, that you said, you know, will change depending upon your actions, right? So explain the co-op thing. So you can actually join up in-game. I mean, aren't you worried that their world is going to be completely different than yours, or what is it limited to? I don't understand.
Right now, to be absolutely honest, it sucks balls.
It is...
Crap, it's you can't bring, okay, if you invite somebody to your game, they don't actually come in your game with their character. They pick a generic character, and their alignment, so you can be like neutral male, neutral female, evil male, evil female, but you'll come through with your stats, so whatever magics you have or weapons, you can choose those and come in with those, but not their actual character for some weird reason. So whatever clothes they had on, whatever like haircuts they chose or tattoos, it's not them. And also, when they're in your world, they can't accept quests. They can't kill anybody or attack anything unless you turn your safety off, because you can turn safety off if you're the host of the game. what else can't they do? It's really, really limited. And also it fixes the camera so you can't rotate it, and you can't, you only have a certain distance between the two you can be apart, which gets really annoying because if you want to go check something out, it just basically, you can't run anymore.
You.
Yeah, it stops you.
Okay.
Which is retarded. And yeah, I didn't like that at all, that part of it. And so basically you're basically going to go in and check out people's worlds, but it has no effect on your actual game. So okay. Unless you've turned, the only thing they can do is if you turn safety off, they can kill people in your town or whatever.
Okay.
The only good thing about it is when you do bring someone over, you can set to who gets more gold, who gets more experience. If you just wanted to like grind your magic or like attacks, have someone come in and be like, all the experience goes to me, all the gold goes to you. Neat. Or whatever, vice versa. That's kind of interesting, I guess. That's a big disappointment, actually. I hope they change it, but I don't think they're going to, because I think Molyneux was already making, not excuses, but explaining why they did that, which translated to me to...
Excuses,
last minute, we wanted to put this in there, boom, boom, boom. I think he wanted to have kind of like an MMO style. I think in his mind, because he kept his mouth shut with Fable 2 this time instead of Fable 1, I think he wanted Fable 2 to be more of like an MMO, but more like Fable, like in terms of action, like how the game's played. How it's not like turn-based or anything. Because with that orb thing, it plays exactly like an MMO would. Like, it just, if those orbs were actually people's avatars walking around, it would be basically like an MMO. Because you can change it to not just your friends you see on the maps, you can change it to everybody. Like anyone who's playing online. And you all of a sudden, you just see orbs everywhere. Like, it's pretty crazy. And yeah. And the dog.
And you've got like, you know, 10 million navvies floating around you. Hey, listen.
It's pretty crazy. But yeah, and the dog thing too, it shows a nod to MMOs because I could tell he's probably playing Warcraft. I'm like, hey, you know what? This whole, you know, having a pet thing is really cool. I'm going to put this in Fable. And it worked. Actually, I really love the dog thing. It's pretty cool. You get really attached to it. It does really cool stuff. Like if you're just chilling, it'll kind of start rolling around in dirt or whatever and jumping around. It'll just go wander off itself and start sniffing things. It'll find your treasure. At first, I was kind of like, it's kind of like a gimmick, but it's not. It's kind of a gimmick, but it actually works. After all, you kind of get it helps you out a lot, and it makes finding treasure and it makes exploring a lot more fun, because as long as you're in the area of something, it'll sniff it out for you.
Plus there's like you said, the emotional attachment.
Yeah, there's a huge emotional attachment. Like I've had people say that like on board stuff, saying that even stupid stuff like they got married for their first wife and went on a couple quests, and all of a sudden the wife's like, I'm leaving you, and they're like, what the hell, what did I do? Like, didn't do anything.
Fine, get lost, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, you're going down. My friend, his wife found out that he was cheating on her with another girl in the same town, and she left him and took the kid with her. I was like, wow, way to go, buddy. But I've yet to get married, so I don't know if I'm going to go down that path. But it's a lot of fun, actually. The first few hours are kind of slow, and I didn't see really the big differences, but it's quite a big step from Fable 1, and I actually really, really enjoy it. And the combat is really, really simple, but addicting as all hell. It's really is.
It's
like
one button, right?
It's basically one button. Yeah, it's one button for attacks, one button for magic, and then one button for like guns and crossbows. But you can do different variations, like hold the button down or combinations, but it's really fun. I can see how they made it one to make it more accessible. I do have one little complaint that actually drives me crazy just before I'm done. There is kind of a lot of loading times, especially when you bring up the maps and stuff, and the maps are really, really not up to par to other RPGs of the same kind of type, like open world ones, where if you're in a town and you want to find the inn, you can pull up the map, it'll just have a bunch of like green dots saying this is what, it'll say like miscellaneous shop. You don't know which one the inn is, so then you have to put down the map, walk to where you think it is, because there's no mini map at all. So you got to be like,
oh,
really?
Shitty.
Yeah, there's no mini map, which...
Didn't Fable 1 have a minimap?
Fable 1 did have a minimap, but I think they wanted to go the whole dog route this time, which wouldn't be bad if you could... Like, if you click a quest, it'll have that little glowy trail that shows you where you need to go. And then you follow that, that's fine, but you can't put waypoints. So if I'm like, okay, I want to go to find, like, an item shop, unless you know where it is in the city, or unless you keep checking your map, like, every few steps, be like, okay, I'll check this one, that you can't put a waypoint and have that little trail go to it. So you basically have to check out all of them. So... I guess it wouldn't be too bad once you know the towns really well, but first in there, it's kind of annoying. So I'm just like, I just want to find an inn, or I just want to find like a tattoo. I want to find a tattoo shop because I want to get some tattoos, and it took me forever.
Gotta get me some ink.
Exactly. Gotta get inked up. Gotta go to the gypsy town. Yeah, it's cool.
Well, on one hand, it kind of encourages exploration.
Yeah.
But It's kind of a pain in the ass as well. So,
yeah, it's,
I don't know.
It's kind of annoying, but I mean, and again, it's also, it's not a big, it is an open world in terms of you can go anywhere, but it's anywhere within the confines of where the game wants you to go. Like if you, you know, in Oblivion, you can fast travel. It kind of has an automatic fast travel between certain places. So if I just want to, if I'm in one town, I just want to walk to the other town, you can't. You'll hit a, you'll walk through the end of the town, and it'll be like, okay, you're entering this area. It's so many miles, it's this many hours, and you just go through loading screen, boom, you're there. And then you're in like a, like say a mountainous area. You walk through that to get to the next town. So it's not like it's a streaming world where it's constant. Like you can just walk anywhere you want to. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, like Fable 1 was the same way. So if you play Fable 1, it didn't bother you, it won't bother you in Fable 2. It's just kind of different after you play a game like Oblivion or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, it's good. I really like it. It took a bit. I was kind of mad at first, but so far really enjoying it.
That's cool.
That's about it for me.
All right.
Excellent.
All right, let's see. I'll try and blitz through mine as quick as I can. What do I got going on? I had played some more Rock Band 2. Like I'm sure you guys played, so we all know that game's awesome. I don't have to go into that. For PSP, I did end up finishing Symphony of the Night, and one thing that I found out with this version of the game is that, like the Saturn version, after you beat the game, you can play as Maria. Cool. So I actually, but it's actually Maria from. Like Rondo of Blood, she plays like she did Rondo of Blood. Whereas in the Saturn version, she had, you know, different moves and stuff like that. So I kind of started dabbling with that a little bit, but that's kind of as far as I went. It's kind of cool. Gives a new feeling to the game and, you know, probably go back to it eventually, but right now I have other things on my plate. I also went back to Curse of Darkness because I was trying to figure out something to play that I wanted to play in my backlog. And I was like, well, you know, I haven't finished Curse of Darkness yet. And it's going to be Castlevania week, so let's play Curse of Darkness. So I got a little further with that. I got to level up one of my familiars a little bit more. It's, you know, those of you who don't like the 3D Castlevanias, the PS2 version, the PS2 Castlevanias are not that bad. So give them a chance. And then, of course, I got Order of Ecclesia, which came out on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
And this game is fantastic. I was so impressed by the presentation of the game in general. The visuals are, you know, you expect the visuals to be like any other Castlevania, but it seems like there's so much, like the characters are so much more animated and the backgrounds are so much more vibrant. It's just, it's a pleasure to look at. And it's got a lot of a Simon's Quest-like feel because you go to different locales and you kind of did that in Portrait of Ruin, but this is actually, it gives you like an overhead map. And when you leave one area, you get to choose like to go to another area from the overhead map. Mm-hmm. So it's very different in that respect. Let's see what else. The combat is, it doesn't sound like it would be a lot different, but it is. It's like you can assign, a glyph, which is like you're basically a weapon glyph, to one on each arm and then one on your back. I have not found any that are actually weapons that go on your back, but you know, you can assign any of the arm glyphs to either arm and you can duplicate them. So you end up getting like these combos going with mm-hmm. the glyphs, and you can like it's the X button is like your left arm and the Y button is your right arm. So you can combo them together, and then if you hit like normally in Castlevania, you hit up an attack and it does like your sub weapon. Well, this time up an attack does a special attack based on what weapon combination you have linked. Mm-hmm. So it's a much different feel to the combat and, it makes it more interesting. And, probably the best thing about this game is that it's not easy. It's like, it's not super difficult or anything, but it's like, it's nice to actually start the game, and the first enemy I see takes like 3 hits. You know? Cause all the other Castlevanias, like all the other Metroidvanias that have come before this, since like Symphony of the Night, it's like, you walk up, you see a skeleton, you swing your whip once, and it's dead.
Toast.
In this one, it's actually, you know, the enemies are more difficult, and they actually pose more of a threat. Because Shinoa, I think her name is, she doesn't do a lot of damage. I mean, she only does, like, when you start, she's only doing, like, 4 or 5 damage a hit. So it makes the game more difficult and more interesting to play, and it's more of a challenge. I got to, like, the second boss fight I got to, I actually died, like, 2 or 3 times because it's much more difficult than normal in a Castlevania game. So
Konami should start putting these out on... Why don't they put these out on PSP?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question.
They should now. They should just, you know, bundle a few of them up, you know, like Portrait of Ruin and, you know, maybe throw in the other one, Dawn of Sorrow or whatever it was called, and there you go.
Yeah, one disc. I'm really not sure why they don't.
I'd actually buy them then.
You don't want them on DS?
It's not an action game system for me. Mm. I have big mammoth Jolly Green Pause. Giant hands. So.
Fair enough. But yeah, it is good, and for anyone who has liked a Castlevania in the past, I would definitely, or liked a Metroidvania in the past, I should say, I would definitely suggest it. I'm not going to say it's better or close to Symphony of the Night yet, but it's definitely the best one I've played since then.
Cool.
So
it's going to go on my wait list.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of Castlevanias out there. It's not like you have to have everyone that comes out like I do. but it is very much worth getting. So, and then all the stuff we played for Extra Life. So that's about it for me.
Cool.
Not bad.
Yeah. Order of Ecclesia is very fun. It's awesome.
Looks like it. Yeah. It does look gorgeous.
It really is. And when you first look at it, like screenshots and stuff, screenshots don't really give it the credit it's due because it's not, you know, once you actually see it in motion, it's just, I don't know, it's just that they put so much into the detailing of the sprites.
Oh, and wow. Like, you could like see like a tattoo on her back.
Yeah.
Know?
And that's something else I thought that was really cool. It's like the way that you gain weapon abilities is you absorb glyphs. Well, the way you absorb glyphs is you just, while you're near one, you hold up. Well, when you do that, she turns around, exposes her back, she lifts up her hair, and then like this wind and this flashing light goes around her and it absorbs the glyph. It's
all in this itty bitty sprite.
Yeah. It looks really good. It's just, you know, if you guys are into Castlevania, there you go. Very much worth it.
I've heard of it. Maybe I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, you should give it a shot.
What the hell?
Cool. But yeah, that's it for me. So, God, we're almost an hour in.
Yeah, Jeff, we'll rip through this news.
Yeah,
here.
Jeff, go through news. Let's do it.
News!
Finally.
We talk about games too much on our gaming podcast.
A rumor that's been in the works for, I don't know how long, the last 2 years. BioWare and EA finally announced the other day that their new MMO... it's going to be Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yes.
We all saw
Bring
that
it
coming.
On, man.
It's only been announced right now for the PC, but it's going to most likely come to consoles. I mean, KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic was basically birthed by the consoles. So.
Well, yeah. True, but I mean, how many MMOs do we have on consoles currently?
Exactly. They need to fill
that
void.
I'm sorry. Final Fantasy XI.
Final Fantasy XI.
I can see.
And...
well,
that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Well, EA did actually just come out and say today that they're actually thinking about it coming out on consoles as well as with Warhammer. So
that would be cool.
That's two big ones that they're definitely considering. I could probably see Star Wars happening before Warhammer just because MMOs don't sell the best on consoles when that have come out, and Star Wars will sell alone just because it's Star Wars. And, you know, I thought, what do you guys think of this? Sorry, go ahead.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, the art style to Knights of the Republic looks kind of cool, but I don't know about you guys. I don't like those lightsabers, man. You guys see the pictures?
They're huge.
They're ridiculously
big, clunky
huge.
Things.
They're big, fat.
I actually didn't see them.
It's, you know, those big cans of beer you can get like in the beer store. It looks like they're holding one of those with a laser coming out of it.
It's like a 40 with, you know, a laser light coming out the top. Right now.
Other than that, I thought the art style was really, really cool. I was like, yeah, it's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But hey,
I think I read something that they were actually going to shrink them down a little bit.
That's good, because they probably got a lot of the fuck emails after that.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say it. A lot of people call this yees. Some people call it wise.
Yees.
Yees. E, like the letter E, like after D.
Yees. Yeah. Yees book one and two.
Yees book one and two is coming stateside. And, of course, to Canada, to the DS. It's going to be remastered with 3D graphics and stuff. And
nice. So,
which is cool because these have never actually been released in North America, as far as I know. I could be wrong. Jason, Chris, correct me.
It was released on Turbo Duo, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Crazy. No release date.
I wonder if they're going to keep the quote unquote combat system. Because if you know anything about East Book 1 and 2, there's no like button to attack. You just run into shit with your sword and it kills it. it's pretty funny. I would love to see them actually remake this game and leave that in place. Because if they do, totally a buy for me. I will buy it in a heartbeat.
All right. I don't think I've played one. I might have seen someone play one years ago. I think the last one that was probably here, was that on Sega Genesis or Super Nintendo?
There was one that was released for... Actually, there was an East that was just released for PSP and PS2.
Oh, okay.
True.
But there was one on Super NES, I know that. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Like East 4 or something, I think.
That was the first one I played.
Cool. Was it?
I went back later and played the rest, but...
Yeah, I have East 1 and Book 1 and 2 on Turbo Duo, and I have East 3 on Turbo Duo as well.
Well, if you want 1 and 2 again, you can pick it up. It's set for launch February 10th, 2009.
So, sweet!
Even Canada's getting it?
You can check it out.
You guys are getting a little bit of class up there.
I know.
I like it.
We're actually getting some good stuff. Actually, I don't even know if it's good. I probably won't buy it. But one thing I will be buying, and I think everyone should buy this, the Hoff is going to be invading Pain. If you don't know who
fucking
the Hoff
awesome.
Is, I don't know what to say.
I'm still blown away by this. Yeah.
I
love this guy because he can totally laugh at himself.
Yeah, he's totally a guy who's like, he knows people make fun of him. He calls himself the Hoff. He makes terrible music that is really huge in Germany, which
it's stupid huge in Germany.
Super bad. And he actually recorded a track for this, specifically
they actually
for...
covered,
are you serious?
Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
Yeah, You Really Want to Hurt Me for this.
From like Culture Club or whatever.
Yep.
Boy George. Oh my god, that is awesome.
And for those who don't know, Pain is the game on PSN, the downloadable game, where you basically just fling bodies into stuff to get points, and as much pain as you can inflict on these like ragdoll physicked things. You know, the more points you get.
There's explosions all over the place.
Explosions and everything, and now you get to fling the Hoff and cause harm to the
Hoff.
Nice.
He put himself in here. David Hasselhoff, Knight Rider. Hey, he's come a long way.
from Knight Rider
to inside your PS3
to Pain.
Exactly, that's pretty cool.
He's my hero.
Also really cool. Did you guys see that ad for the Resistance on that big building?
Oh, the one on the building. What is that in LA?
So badass. Yeah,
that thing is fucking badass, man. I'm like that. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine how long it would have taken him to do that.
No, friggin' probably a while. But that was really cool. You guys can check it out. Pretty much check out just. Google whatever Resistance 2 ad. I'm sure it's going to come out there. Not really news. I just thought it looked really, really cool. And
if you
haven't seen it, check it out.
It does.
Really awesome.
Did you guys see? Did you guys see the video they had? The video ad they posted.
No.
I'll have to send that to you. I can't remember exactly. I honestly don't remember a whole lot about it, but it was really creepy. And I think that was the entire point. But I'll send you guys a link over the break.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
Send us a link while we wait for Slant 6 to send us a patch for SOCOM. As of yesterday, they have come out and said that they're finally going to send that SOCOM stability patch. It's on the way. It's going to hit hopefully sometime next week. They've already fixed the server issues, but there's still people having problems logging on, and once they do log on, freezing, booting people, issues like that. So they are going to patch that. They are aware of it. So this came out on the 21st yesterday, so hopefully by the time you listen to this, maybe there might be one out.
Hopefully
you can check it out.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does kind of suck. But hey, what can you do?
Well, they could have delayed the game, but they didn't.
No, they wanted you to get the microphone out there, right? So, that doesn't make sense, because they could have delayed that too, because that works fine, apparently.
Yeah, I heard it was really good.
Yeah, well, you know what? Could have delayed it, and if they did delay it, they would have something in common with Xbox Live, because Xbox Live just delayed the primetime feature that's in the new Xbox Live experience that's hitting in November, which sounded pretty cool to me that if those that don't know or haven't been keeping up, the prime time is basically the game show type stuff for Xbox Live.
Oh, okay.
The one versus 100.
I had forgotten what it was. So
yeah, it's the Netflix thing. Like if you all have a Netflix account and you all go into a, like one kind of chat room and watch a movie.
Okay, so it's like the Xbox Live party stuff?
Basically, the party stuff that doesn't involve games. You can still, they're still going to have to be able to do that launch to any game from there, but you won't be able to do any of the stuff that's like those little mini games for like the game shows or the movies.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Not cool.
Well, it's cool that it'll come. I mean, I would rather them get it right.
Yeah, true. All right.
Because, I mean, that's one of the things that about, like, the whole new Xbox Live experience thing, I've been like, yeah, whatever. But the primetime stuff actually sounded really cool to me, so I'm like, you know, get it right. I feel the same way about that as I do about home. You know, delay home as much as you want. Just get it right.
Well, Treyarch apparently thinks they put World War II, and they got that right, because they're putting World War II to bed. They are no longer making World War II games.
Thank God!
Yes.
It took you long enough.
Took what the forever. Fuck?
Jesus.
So, the good part...
No.
Seriously. Treyarch, they're making Call of Duty, World at War. Is it World at War? Is that what it's called? This one I can't remember.
World at War, I think so.
Something like that. Then they made Call of Duty 3 and some of the Call ports of Duty 1. The different systems. So, basically, all the Call of Duties now will never be set in World War II. So, after this one...
What?
That should be it. So, then they'll just make tons and tons of versions of Modern Combat. Which I'm sure people will be
happy
with. That's
what I was thinking. what I want a Call of Duty future. That'd bring it. That would be cool.
Hey, dude, I'm pretty sure Bungie made that. I think it was called Halo.
Oh, yeah. Should probably look at that.
Actually, no, they play totally different. Actually, Call of Duty is more like, I guess Resistance is more like Call of Duty, so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But hey, if I had to compare them. None of you guys swore, so I kind of threw my transition to that right out the window, because Microsoft has patented a little technology that's going to actually, they say, is going to prevent cursing and swearing on Xbox Live.
Fuck.
See, Jason, you shouldn't have cursed there, because soon you're not going to be able to.
Beep! Beep!
But yeah, they got the patent. Apparently they...
You have Tourette's or something? What's going on?
Fuck you.
Oh, God. They filed for this back in 2004, and they finally got it now, and they're saying they're going to implement it in some kind of Xbox.
Who gives a shit? Who gives a beep?
There you go.
Sorry.
I think a lot of people would, though, man, because you get a lot of people complaining about that shit. Oh, all I hear is on Xbox Live, people swearing. And
yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
And if they can actually, and it's good for parents, too, I think, because they can turn that stuff on for their kids and be like, hey, who knows how well it's going to work, and I don't know how well it's going to work. I can see it working because I'm sure there's a delay between whatever you say and by the time it hits the other people. They could probably intercept it and put in a beep or like kittens or something. And some kind of nice name. But that's,
I've got a flashback to the edit that Jason did of what the hell is it?
Mew.
Yeah.
Shaun of the Dead. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just going to take up more bandwidth more than anything. So if it's going to do that, then just leave it out.
Worried about that, and most of the stuff is pretty unintelligible.
Yeah.
Also, so I don't know how well it's gonna work.
Exactly.
Normally, fucking
people make up swear words on that. I'm like, what the hell did you just say? And they're just like, you don't know what that means. I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck is that even a word? Speaking English. And they make fun of me some more and call me old and a noob. Anywho, this definitely doesn't make me old. This makes me giddy as all hell. Sims 3 was announced a couple weeks ago, I believe, or a while ago, a year ago. I don't even know where. However long time ago.
Yeah, you are a big Sims fan.
I'm huge into Sims, but even more than Sims, I'm huge into Steve Jablonski. Guy kicks major ass. He did the soundtrack for Transformers. He also did the soundtrack for Command & Conquer, Kane's Wrath. I actually own three of his albums that have his soundtracks, and I think he's done on them. He's like the John Williams of, like, my world. He's got some good shit.
Where are you going with this, Jeff?
I'm just saying he's doing the stuff for Sims 3. What do you guys, you know?
Well, Jeff's obviously very excited. I think Chris and I.
Who gives a shit?
I'm kidding. People out there, I only owned actually two of his albums. Three is just going overboard. And that's your news.
All right, cool. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Let's take a break real quick, and when we come back, we'll talk about Castlevania. And let's see what else. New releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay tuned, and we'll be back right after this.
Crazy.
Cool. It's time to wake up.
Hey, hey, everyone. My name's Dale Coolis, and I am host of the podcast On Tap, found on the VGEVO Podcast Network or on our new website at ontappodcast.com. And our podcast is a video game alternative podcast. You know, there's a ton of other awesome podcasts that cover the latest happenings of the industry well. So what we do is we focus on reviews, retro reviews, roundtable discussions, and we even make sure to talk about a lot of the dreaded pile of video game movies. If you want to give your iPod or other audio device of your choice something different to listen to, check us out. Look for us on the VGEVO Podcast Network or ontappodcast.com. Thanks.
This role-playing game, out in 2004, returns to the world of Azeroth, where heroes like Leroy Jenkins do battle. And that would be the world of Warcraft.
GamersOnlyOlder.com. Because your limited online game time should not be ruined by douchebags.
Release the inner child.
Welcome to the Goos of VG Evo Network Podcast Affiliate.
Wednesday. Game Fans Interactive Distractions presents the 125th Annual Warhawk Wednesday, exploding into action this Wednesday and every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time at the Amen Sports Arena. Come see world-famous pilots Unistrike. Chino.
Hey, I'm getting pretty good at this.
And the Canadian Flying Ace, Goffy.
Son of a bitch, I forgot about that.
With special guest, Nabo.
Hello? Is this fucking thing on?
Watch in wonder as Torgo annihilates Unistrike again. And again. And again.
Hi, Unistrike.
Warhawk Wednesday. It's awesome.
Presented by Interactive Distractions and VG Evo.
And we are back.
Woohoo.
Yeah, back, y'all.
So after that long first half, well, not really long, but we did have a pretty long first half, and we got a literal fuck ton of emails this week.
I was going to say a shit ton, but fuck ton is probably more accurate.
Yeah, I think so. So we're not going to waste any time. We're going to jump right into the feature. We're going to jump right into emails, and Jason, take it away.
Well, feature is this week, what the hell is it? Something about Castlevania, something about breathing new life into it, something about it being fresh.
Does it need to be, what does it need to be fresh?
What does it need? Well, you guys answered the question in spades. Anyway, let's start this off. One from Nogric. I love you, man.
Ooh,
Nogric. It's been so long since I've seen you. Anyway, hey guys, so the question of this week is asking if Castlevania needs something fresh, and I would have to say yes. It seems to me that IGA and the folks working on Castlevania like to revel in the success of Symphony of the Night, and so they keep trying to emulate that. Exactly. For me, it gets repetitive, especially when they lengthen the game by making you run through the castle upside down, or using the same level template, only slightly adjusted. And no more Richter Belmont either. He's dead, so let's keep it that way. I hope he's not a secret character in Order of...
He's dead?
Celsia? What is it?
Ecclesia?
Ecclesia. Emo something. Okay. on the other hand, I have to say that I would like the series to get back on track, so to speak. Put a Belmont back in the lead role. Hallelujah, brother. High five. As much as I like the idea of characters like Soma Cruz, Castlevania is about the fight of the Belmont clan against Dracula. I don't really care about family offshoots and stuff like that. The stories usually end up focusing around the Belmonts anyway, so let me control one again. The other thing that I would like to have is Dracula be the main antagonist. No more cults trying to steal his power or people trying to inherit the castle. Dracula needs to man up and kick the crap out of somebody. He can even interact with the hero throughout the story, like Death and other characters seems to do, since I think it would be cool for him to taunt the hero throughout their adventure. I mean, there's a story waiting to happen with Julius, Mark? Mm-hmm. And the 1999 resurrection of Dracula, basically the events leading up to Aria of Sorrow. That could put the series back on track. I'm just waiting for someone to get it. So yeah, Konami, you need to straighten up, put a Belmont back in the lead, and make Dracula be a badass again. And no upside-down castles either. With love, Nogric. Thank you.
Thanks, Nogs.
Thank you.
But this is a painful email for me.
Why?
Because I thought the upside-down castle was a great idea for Symphony of the Night. However, I do think that they took that and then they tried to like mimic it, but making it different each time. And I think the one that was the worst about it was Harmony of Dissonance, where it wasn't – there were two castles, and they were the exact same castle. The only difference is that, you know, it was like there was an A castle and a B castle, and you warped from one to the other. And it was just – you know, it was lacking in variety. And the variety that it lacked – like, I feel like Portrait of Ruin – and Order of Ecclesia are kind of making up for that, because it is gonna, it does have newer environments, and it's like the locales are much different and much there's much more variety there.
Right. What about putting a Belmont back in?
I have nothing against that. I've been playing Castlevania since the very first one, so you know that the big thing is that, you know, if you put a Belmont back in, a lot of times it's not going to work as well as a Metroidvania type game. But
why is that?
Well, I just because you don't really get the it's like they tried to do that with Harmony, and Harmony has, it's not really a Belmont character, but he's got a whip. The thing is that that one of one of the big draws to the Metroidvania style Castlevania games is, for me anyway, is finding new weapons and equipping the new weapons and being able to, you know, figure out which one works against which enemies and that kind of thing. And with Harmony, because the character had a whip, there was only like four or five different weapons, and you were, you know, restricted to those. But, so, you know, it may not be a bad thing. I mean, look at Simon's Quest. That's the way it was. Yeah. You started out with a regular whip, then you got the thorn whip and the chain whip, and
so basically, you're relating Belmont to basically whips,
right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Now, that's just because when he said like put in another Belmont, to me, Castlevania hasn't really been really about the characters. Like, cause, like any one of the characters, they could just call Belmont right now. Even the new chick character in Order of Ecclesia, and I wouldn't feel any different, really. But then again, I haven't played all of them, so I don't really know the whole lore between the whole Belmont family and everything. So.
Yeah, the
part of it somehow. Too is that, I mean, you're going to run out of like lines, you know. There's only so many Belmonts that they made, so, and there's a shit ton of Castlevania games. So once we get about, you know, eight generations, you know, we're going to start running out of ideas. So
right,
yeah. I want the whip back, though. That's for sure.
I love absolutely.
What I really want, and I wish they would freaking do this. I wouldn't mind them going back to the traditional style, like what they had with 1 and 3 and 4 and all that stuff. I want the whip to be able to be thrown diagonally again.
Mm-hmm. And I want to be dangly.
Well,
dangly.
The dangly they've kept. The dangly they've kept.
Well, on some of them.
Yeah, most of them. Most of them after Castlevania, maybe.
Bloodlines didn't have it.
Super Castlevania. I think was the first one.
Yeah, Super Castlevania 4 was the first one, and then they had let's see, who else had it? I think Richter had it in Dracula X, I'm pretty sure, or Rondo of Blood, the actual PC Engine version. And I know he had it when you play him in Symphony of the Night.
Now, were they dangly? Were they just dangle when you hold it out, or was it in Super Castlevania where you can actually whip it around while it was being a limp and stuff?
Yeah, you can whip it around.
Okay, cool.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
See, you can whip it out and let it dangle and wave it around.
And when it's limp, you can whip it around. It's great.
Okay, cool. Just wondering.
Well, for me, the story, as far as like the Castlevanias go, are more, you know, the focus on Dracula is more important to me. There are some that don't include Dracula, and like even Layman of Innocence for the PS2. Mm-hmm. Lament. I'm sorry, Crystal just corrected me. Lament of Innocence on PS2 was actually it's in the timeline. They made it to be the first of the Castlevania games, and you don't actually fight Dracula. You fight Death at the end, and you know it kind of brings to light what the storylines will become from then on. So it's kind of a prequel in that essence. But at least the story of Dracula is still in there.
Cool.
Well, that's the thing is I've lost track. I don't know how many times that they could have retold that story because it was loosely based on the story of Dracula, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vampire hunter, just chase him down or whatever, and ties itself into all kinds of German fantasy lore and whatnot. But I mean, from growing up, like the gist that I got of all the Castlevanias that I played was, you got Simon Belmont,
and you go kill Dracula.
You go kill Dracula.
Yeah, that's right.
It. Candles.
And so it's not like that anymore. It's definitely not like that anymore.
No. Mm-hmm. So. Well, since Symphony of the Night, which he brought up, that ever since then they've been trying to recreate it over and over again.
Yep, that's true.
Which is a problem.
All the Game Boy ones were like that. All of the DS ones have been like that. Actually, the only game they've released since then that's not like that is Dracula X Chronicles, because it's a remake of Rondo of Blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, excluding the PS2 versions, obviously, but yeah, all the 2D games have turned into Metroidvanias.
Yeah.
Well, let's hit another email. This is actually going along the kind of the more modern 2D lines. But who's this from? Do-do-do. Adred Bones from VG Evo.
Cool.
Hello.
Word up.
He apologizes for the length in advance.
It's okay.
I'm not going to edit it, though. Word for word. Hey, Indus people, regarding the question of the week, does Castlevania need something fresh? For me, the answer is yes and no. Uh-oh. With the 2D iterations of the games, I say no, not really. Each new game has added elements that keep the series interesting. Aria of Sorrow's Soul System, Portrait of Ruin's portrait levels, Dawn of Sorrow's weapon forging, and of course, Symphony of the Night's Metroidvania exploration. Hell yeah. Aspects of all of the above have made it into Order of
Ecclesia.
Ecclesia. A game that has also made big changes, slingshotting around with the mage's glyph. Our Magnus glyph has made both exploration and boss battles different from any other entry in the series. Indeed, the glyph system itself has invigorated most every aspect of the series' gameplay. Oh, and Shinoa is hot. Seriously. Yes, she is. Like, super freaking hot. Extra hot. Great hot. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll agree with that.
I like her, too. Hell yeah. It's that freaking... It's not even a tramp stamp. It's, like, in the middle of her back.
Yeah.
And she's got, like, that open back... Oh, friggin' hot. Where the hell was I? Well, not every edition has stuck. The horrors of Dawn of Sorrow's touchscreen, the magic seal crappiness being a case in point. The series has always kept itself interesting, and I don't see any need for a radical overhaul. With the 3D games, though, I say roll the changes. Keep producer Iga. Is it Iga? Iga? Iga.
I'm pretty sure. I think it's Iga.
Artist Ayami Kojima and composer Michiru Yaman? Then dump everyone else. So just keep those guys, get rid of everyone else. The problem with a game like Curse of Darkness in particular is that despite the clear enthusiasm for the project, the muddy textures, blocky animation, and general mediocrity of the game point to a technical staff of B-grade quality at best. Perhaps Konami will be kind to the next-gen title and throw some of that fat Metal Gear Solid 4 cash Dracula's way.
Nice.
Fingers crossed.
Yep.
Sorry for the rambling. Stay cool with my fellow vampire killers, and happy Halloween in advance.
How thank you, you,
brother. Adrian Bones. Oh, by the way, P.S. I have much love for Rondo of Blood and the pre-symphony games, but that level in Rondo where you have to backflip on a moving iron ball still gives me nightmares. It's hellish.
Yeah.
Indeed.
But Rondo of Blood is probably... the hardest traditional Castlevania, in my opinion.
Not saying something.
Yeah. Well, I'd probably put it on the same level as the original, because the original was so fucking hard, because you had to do it in one shot. There's no saving or any of that. So I put it on the same level as that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
the stuff that he mentions about Curse of Darkness, like the the as far as like the technical problems that it has, I see those too, but I do my best to work past them, and I like the idea of having the familiars and stuff. So I am still very much enjoying that game. That's, I guess that's what's keeping me in involved. It's like, you know, it's that whole, that's the thing about the Castlevania games for me, is that the Castlevania games always seem to bring out the completionist in me. And it's like the, with each of the familiars that you get in Curse of Darkness, they evolve different ways. It's almost like Pokemon, basically. And they evolve by you getting, using different weapons to defeat enemies. So as you're using different enemy, defeating enemies with different weapons, they'll evolve into something totally different. So you'll start off with the same one, and you'll end up with something incredibly different. I like that aspect of it. It's a very completionist type of a mechanic.
Indeed. That actually kind of brings me into another email here. This one's from Mark Sanger.
Oh, I know him.
Said that right?
Who's that dude?
Yeah.
Sounds like a douche.
I think he's some guy that is on some podcasts. I don't know.
I don't know. It's probably
blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
What does he say? What's up, gentlemen?
What's up?
Smells like Indus.
Nice.
Mark's a funny guy. That was actually funny, but I'm going to pretend like it wasn't because it was about me. I hate you.
It was awesome.
It was funny. Sorry, this one's a little long. Here we go.
That's what she
said. Sit back. Yep. Castlevania is one of my favorite series ever. I think I did him justice.
He spelled it with an A, didn't he?
No. Well, yeah. Sorry.
He spelled it with an A-R.
You're right.
Yeah.
But I do think it needs something new. I'm a big fan of the Metroidvania style, but it's been milked to death now. That's not to say I haven't thoroughly enjoyed most of them, especially the DS titles, but each one is still pretty much more of the same with a new gimmick attached. Each time I think, this is what the series needed to keep it fresh, but that wears off by the time I finish the game. I've just started Order of Ecclegalegada, and once again, I've got that same feeling, but I'm sure it will fade. Order of Emo?
Order of E. Or Emo, sure.
Order of E. O-O-E. Let's see. But I'm sure it will fade by the end of it. Just to make sure I'm not sounding too negative, I really love these games, but they're all really similar. It's true. Mm-hmm. I don't think going back to old school Castlevania is the answer either. I loved the Rondo of Blood remake in Dracula X Chronicles, but in the end it was more like a fun romp down memory lane. A great game, but not something I'd want to necessarily see in a newer Castlevania. I didn't mind the 3D games on PS2 that much, and embarrassingly enough, I didn't think the N64 games were all that bad either.
Wow.
None were necessarily the right step, but each got certain things right and failed in other areas. A lot of people have said it should be more like Devil May Cry or God of War, which I really do not agree with. No. Castlevania doesn't say over-the-top action game to me. I don't just want to see a Metroidvania style in 3D either. I guess I can't say what they should do with it, but it needs something. Well, we'll have to see what Iga does with the new 360 PS3 game, I guess. Also, fuck the fighting game for the Wii. Looks awful, and they actually made worse character designs than the weak anime art from DOS and POR. I'm not up on my Castle.
Dawn of Sorrow and Portrait
of Ruin.
Of course.
Of course.
And to make this letter a little bit longer, let's talk about my favorite CV game, Castlevania game, Castlevania Bloodlines.
Nice.
Okay, maybe it's not my absolute favorite. Symphony of the Night and Rondo edged out a bit, but everyone likes those. Bloodlines is so horribly underrated, it's criminal.
I agree.
Yeah, I totally
awesome
agree.
Graphics for the Genesis, awesome music, two playable characters, and a unique storyline in the Castlevania franchise. Mm-hmm. What's not to like? Ah.
And it had gore in it, too, by the way.
Yeah, Super Nintendo always overshadowed it, and it's a shame, because honestly, that's one of my least favorite Castlevania games. It just never felt like Castlevania to me. Bloodlines is just such an awesome all-around package. I was ecstatic when it was announced Portrait of Ruin was a semi-sequel to it. I liked it a lot, but was a little disappointed by the results, mostly because I wanted more cameos and more remixed music from Bloodlines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all. Save the Cade.
Thank you, Saber.
Thank
Gabe.
You.
All right. First of all, I want to say that I wasn't going to even mention Judgment until he did. I was like, if nobody mentions Judgment in the emails, we're just going to pretend it's not there.
Well, we can all agree. It looks like crap. It looks terrible.
Like crap.
It's horrendous.
Why they're doing it?
Yeah.
It's just a dumb idea. I mean, someone said that it looks like it's going to play like Power Stone, and my first thought is, do not insult Power Stone that way.
Yeah, exactly. If anything, it's going to play like Air Geets.
Power Stone was such a wonderful mix to the whole fighting game aspect, and this doesn't look anything like it to me. I mean, the only big thing is that you can run around.
Yeah,
wow.
It looks terrible. It looks like Air Geets, and that game was god-awful.
Sorry.
Air Geets was bad? What? This is news to me. I liked that game.
That note, though, let's move to something a little more positive. Castlevania Bloodlines is hugely underrated.
Yes, it is.
It almost didn't feel like Castlevania to me, let me say that, because it was such a departure. Like, the sprites were just so glorious, and I don't know, it felt different to me.
It did feel different. It felt different for me, mainly because I was playing it on a Sega system, for one. I was like, this is just weird. And two, the sprites seemed a bit smaller, but that might have just been smaller compared to Super Castlevania.
Yeah. Super Castlevania had much larger sprites, that is true.
Yes.
True.
Yeah. But I did like it. I only rented it, though. I didn't complete it, but I remember really liking it, and I was surprised that they added, for the time, a lot of blood and gore into the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was never in a Castlevania, really, before.
And the addition
of
the second character was really
cool, too.
Death
animations from the enemies. Like, you'd hit someone, and they wouldn't just, like, you know, blip off screen or a flame effect or something like that. Yeah, they'd, like, break in half and, like, keep kind of coming towards you or back or whatnot. Yeah, it was neat.
Yeah. It was cool.
And I like the mechanic of the other character in the game. I can't remember his name right now. But
he
the fact
like
that he had the spear. And as you upgraded the spear, it got, like, extra prongs, and he could spin it around, and he could, like, super jump with it and stuff like that. So it's like the Belmont character had his whip that could grab onto stuff. There's certain things on the wall that he could grab onto to make him jump higher or do whatever. But instead, the dude with the spear actually could, if you ducked,
super
you
jump.
Could, what's that?
He, like, spring off it.
Yeah, he'd spring off it and, like, super jump up in the air. And, I mean, yeah, this one's majorly overrated. I never beat it, though. It's so fucking hard.
It's hard.
Underrated.
Yeah.
Underrated.
That's what I meant. Underrated. Okay. Sorry.
It's, I don't know. I've
no
never,
problem.
Well, this thing where my sin is I've never beaten a Castlevania game, ever.
Oh, really?
It's like the Final Fantasy. It's like my side-scrolling Final Fantasy, where I actually enjoy all the games I play for the amount of time I play them. But for some reason, I can just never play them to the end, and I haven't really figured out why. But, yeah, I don't know. I like the lore. I like the whole, like, atmosphere of it. I like the art style, and pretty much all of them I really like, except for the, like he mentioned.
The anime ones?
In Portrait of Ruin. Yeah, I didn't like the anime one. I didn't mind the sprites. They look cool, but when they had the cutscenes, I was
the,
like,
the sprites are always pretty consistent and always look really good. The change to the anime style kind of made it a little more childish to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that with Ecclesia that they actually moved back to the more adult style that they had in Symphony of the Night in those games.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, there's a couple points that I wanted to touch on in Cade's email. Number one is that they have been doing new things that we don't really know what it needs. You know, we just know that it needs something different, and they keep introducing new features,
new
stuff in like the DS games. Even though, you know, they're all kind of modeled and styled the same, they seem the same. They add some new gameplay elements, right?
No,
but
like the souls.
It just doesn't seem like it's enough.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what steered me away from the DS games, aside from that, you know, I have mammoth giant hands and can't control my DS properly.
Well, one of the big things that I liked about Portrait of Ruin so much is that I did feel like it was more of a departure from the norm, because you had...
It was.
Not only did you have the different locales, but you also had two different characters. And one of the cool things about the game that I thought was that you could actually bring in both characters at the same time, and the AI would actually take control of the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. I always thought that was neat, and it was it's a nice little touch. It's something to make it fresh. And, you know, the chick character, I can't remember her name right now, but she's primarily a magic user, so she has all these different types of magics that she uses. So it made it seem like, I don't know, just a little bit different. Yeah, just different enough for me to really enjoy it.
Now, the question about that, having different characters, you mentioned before in Bloodlines, you know, you had two different characters, mm-hmm. but they you could still do the same kind of things with them, right?
Right.
Like you mentioned, you can get to higher areas with a whip or, you know, just jump with the spear or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, in that game, is there any difference between the characters, really?
Yes, there is.
There is?
And it's okay that there is because you can switch them on the fly. Okay. You don't have to act, it's not like you, like with Bloodlines, you start with one character or the other, right? So with Portrait of Ruin, there's slight differences. I don't want to try and say what they are, but
I don't think like I got a different. I don't think like I like that there's two of them, but they were different. But they didn't have to be different. They could have just had one character because basically she used the magic, he used the attack weapons. He could use all the different weapons. She only had the book, which you could upgrade to do different certain things. But they basically was like the same attack. Basically, like she'd open her book up, the sword things would come out or whatever.
Right. And you could, and as you upgraded the book, she would either get, you know, it starts out with like one blade coming out, and then you get
like two,
a blade and three maces that come out and stuff like that. So, like her focus wasn't attacking; that was his focus. Then hers was more of a magic focus, and he got more of the attack moves and you know more speed moves, that kind of thing.
And there's parts where he had to use both characters, like do like double team moves and stuff like that, kind of like you'd have to do in say like an army of two where you'd need to help each other up or whatever.
Where like you had to jump off one, you know, help the other person jump, stuff like that. So but is there a difference? Yes, but it's really not enough to be huge. And I kind of agree with you, Jeff. There doesn't really need to be a difference. They did it just to make it different, I think.
But
they made them different just to be different.
Yeah.
Right.
But I thought it was I still like that though.
Yeah, me too. Cool. Yeah. Me too.
It's just another example of them trying to do something different, but ultimately
staying the same.
Yeah,
for the most part,
it's the same.
Yeah,
and that's how it kind of was in like Castlevania 3 too, because you had different characters as well. I don't remember if it was kind of transparent though.
No, it wasn't. Not at all. Not with Castlevania 3, it wasn't. Because
you could be the thief that could like climb on walls and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and Alucard could turn into a bat and
the bats and
like the magic chick.
The chick
had
uses magic.
Yeah, she had something else that she could do too.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But, yeah, I remember in that game that I mainly used the little hunchback thief guy and just climbed all
too.
Over the place. It just made the game so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
Cool.
So do you think that, you know, they should keep additional characters and new iterations?
I think it's a nice touch, but it's not needed.
I agree.
It's one of those things where I would be fine with them just bringing back a Belmont, you know, and you know it's Order of Ecclesia just has one character and I'm fine with that, and I like the character that they gave us. So as long as the character is interesting, I'm fine. Yeah, you know, it's not a big deal to me.
And
hot helps.
Hot
definitely helps. Oh,
she's
real
really
quick before we move on, he mentioned that. And this will probably move you right into another email, too, because I know we got something about this. He talked about the 3D Castlevanias and saying that a lot of people want them to be more like Devil May Cry or God of War.
No.
Well, I would actually go as far as to say that Lament of Innocence is somewhere in between there. It's kind of in between a Devil May Cry and a Castlevania game.
Which is okay, actually.
Yeah. It's not a Devil May Cry game, but the combat feels more like Devil May Cry, and I think that's okay.
I think the big thing is if they go 3D, I want it to be like Devil May Cry or God of War in terms that it's a fixed camera, but I don't. The gameplay doesn't have to be that fast-moving.
Yeah, and that's exactly the way Lament of Innocence does it. It's a fixed camera. Each room that you go into, there's a fixed camera that just follows you around. It doesn't move with you, but it stays in one spot and it watches you. You know, and then the combat, you have two different attack buttons, just like Devil May Cry, and you can mix and match the combos. And you, as you don't really go up levels, but as you progress in the game, you open up new combos.
Chris, do you still love the original games as much as you do some of the new DS iterations?
I do, but not for the same reasons.
For all intents and purposes, they're completely different games.
They are. They are very, very different games, and they are a totally different style, but it's a style that I still like. It's the older Castlevania games are more action and platformy, whereas the newer ones are collectathons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the old ones better, actually.
Do you?
Personally. Yeah. Well, you know my thing. I hate backtracking with a passion.
Yeah.
And I hate exploration. when it's there's no direction. That's why I love the dog in Fable, I guess. But especially like in Symphony of the Night, I didn't even know until I played the Xbox Live version that he had spells. Half circle type stuff.
I thought that was a cool little touch.
Yeah, it really depends on like what you have equipped and stuff like that. So
yeah, and I had no idea when the first one. No, doesn't get. No, I don't think it matters.
We're talking about Symphony.
I'm talking about Symphony of the Night.
Symphony of the Night. It depends on what you had equipped.
Regardless. Okay. I'm not going to argue with you.
Certain weapons would provide you certain moves that you could do. Like you know how like the very first sword that you start out with, if you do a fireball with it, he shoots across the screen and hits something from the back and comes back. As soon as your weapon goes away, you don't have that ability anymore. So.
And that was never in the manual though, was it?
I don't know.
I don't think
I remember just playing that and talking to somebody playing at the same time, like not co-op, just chatting while we're both playing, and he saw me how to do this, and I was like, wow, I didn't even know this when I had it on PS1. I had no idea. It made the game so much easier. I didn't know you could do that spell where if you kill bleeding enemies, you'll actually absorb their blood. And
what the hell is it called?
Something. He says it.
Like, dark metamorphosis. He actually calls it
dark metamorphosis.
Dark metamorphosis.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I get bored of them after a while, because if I get to a point where I'm like, okay, I've looked everywhere. I don't know what to do. I can't open this door still. I can't do this, can't do this, can't do that. I'm not the kind of person who's going to look in every little spot to see where I haven't been, or, you know, I'll go to every opening on the map and be like, okay, can't get up there. Can't do this, can't this. And then that's when I usually stop playing them. And that's why I like the Castlevanias, where it's just basically level-based, and you go from level 1 to, like, level 12 or whatever, fight bosses at the end of each one.
See, that's the great thing about Rondo of Blood, though, because it is that style game.
That's exactly what it is.
It still has that exploration too, because there's a second path in every stage to go to the prime stages. And you know, just Jason, you were asking me how I felt about the old ones. My favorite Castlevania is Symphony of the Night, obviously, but my second favorite is Rondo of Blood still. So.
Symphony doesn't count as old. I'm just saying.
No, it's been released about 5 times in the last 3 years.
Didn't say it was.
No, I'm saying that's why we can't call it old.
Oh, no, definitely not.
And it does actually still hold up. I can still play that game, even though I haven't beat it. And I usually just start over again from the beginning, because I'm like, crap, maybe if I start over at the beginning this time, we'll keep better track of where I'm supposed to go.
You know, the last time when I started replaying it for PSP, the first thing that I realized was, damn, this music is fucking awesome.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's like you play the DS games and it's like, yeah, that's got pretty good music. Then you go back to Symphony and it's just like, good God. It's like night and day.
But I love that game so much.
Yeah, me too.
Alucard's my favorite.
That was like a huge branch, I think, you know, from because Castlevania is officially a franchise now, in that we have different genres. You know, we've got the 3D based and
That's true.
But I think Symphony was the first real Metroidvania. Mm-hmm. And it was completely different from the old stuff.
Yep. It was the step. That step needs to happen again somehow.
Yeah, they need to find something else to do now.
Yeah, 3D.
I want the old stuff back to a certain degree.
I'm just going to jump to it now. I was going to save it till the end. But what I want to see happen with it, give the fucking license to the guys who did Bionic Commando Rearmed. Don't do a remake. Just do another game, Castlevania game. Let them do it on what they know and just go.
Like, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Keep the original guys involved, like, to do whatever, but have them actually, you know, like, put the kids. They did it. The Bionic Commando Rearmed is such a perfect, in my opinion, remake of a 2D game that still is so awesome today just because of the little enhancements.
And still feels like it plays the same.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I just want them to make a side-scrolling Castlevania, I'd rather it not be Metroidvania style, just, you know, with levels and everything. You know, maybe even throw co-op. I don't know if co-op will work in Castlevania, but, you know, throw that out there, and I think that'd be pretty badass. That's what I'm hoping for. It's not really like a reinvention or anything like that. It's not adding anything new per se, but either that or take a break. Don't have another Castlevania game for like 3 years. I know that'll probably hurt you, Chris, but like just take a break.
There's a knife in my heart.
Because if you're away from something for so long and you get it again, no matter what form it is, you appreciate it that much more.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Milk the hell out of so long, and they did wait 2 years for this one, right? Yeah, I think Portrait of Ruin was 2006, right?
Yeah, Portrait of Ruin was 2006, but think about it this way. I mean, this is the 360 PS3 game that they announced. Mm-hmm. That's the first true, like, next-gen or console, you know, Castlevania since Curse of Darkness for PS2.
Yeah, but so we don't know yet if this is just going to be like Curse of Darkness with better graphics.
Yeah, that's true.
So we have no idea.
We'll find out.
Yes.
We know it stars Alucard. That's what we know.
And that's what's badass because he is my favorite character.
I think it's weird because he's the Symphony of the Night character in my eyes. You know, so he's the Metroidvania 2D anyway.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that he actually shows up first. Everyone associates him with Symphony of the Night first, but he shows up in Castlevania 3 before anything.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't play 3, though, so... I don't
but
know.
He wasn't the central character.
No, anyway. He was not. Trevor was.
All right. Another email. This one's from Jimhead. We haven't heard from this dude in a while.
No, we
Sweden, haven't. Jimhead. Anyway, when I hear about 3D Castlevania, I cringe. Mm-hmm. But after the usual crying and a couple suicide attempts, I remember... I've never really played one before.
Oh, that's painful, man.
No, that's fair.
Go ahead.
I'm taking over. All right, except for the first one on an emulator. It was pretty hard, but when I mapped save and load to the right and left mouse button, it became a little easier. Apparently, I've done a lot. So I'm not familiar with this game series. But anyway, what would I want the next generation Castlevania games to be? I think the fighting should resemble something close to God of War, Onimusha, Ninja Gaiden Hybrid. The fun and easy gameplay from God of War. The different kind of weapons and depth from Ninja Gaiden, but not the second one. And the heavy feeling you get from swinging the weapons in Onimusha. Cool. The game would be like a gothic Shadow of Colossus Onimusha game. With an atmosphere closely resembling SOC.
Shadow Colossus,
but a little darker. For example, story-wise. You're some vampire hunter searching for clues about the growing number of undead in the land. You travel to uninhibited towns. Ooh, uninhibited towns. Nice. looking for journals, books, diaries. Going through old mansions for clues. And between castles... like the colossi you tried to hunt in SOC, you might come across friendly towns where you can buy potions, sell magic armor, and search for more info, etc. And now you might ask where Onimusha fits in. The levels of the castle I think would be perfect with an Onimusha God of War-inspired level design. The world would be a mix of Zelda and SOC with a heavy emphasis on SOC. Jimhead.
Well, you basically just explained what I want God of War 3 to be, so...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Definitely interesting.
He brings up Zelda, and that was going to be one of my closing points, too. Let me back up a little bit. Castlevania's branched out into different genres now, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. And I kind of want that old... I like the Metroidvania exploration bit. I also like the combat from that. I'm also missing out on some of the platforming, but I would like, you know, some 3D stuff. So if we could do like an Ocarina of Time / Castlevania, where it's a little less combat heavy, it's not as cool as, you know, like the Devil May Cry, God of War combat, not as intense and you know, arcadey as that is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
So basically Fable without all the changing shit?
Maybe.
That's basically... Fable's basically Zelda. If you took away all the stuff that the world changing and all that kind of, you know, morality crap, not crap, it's good stuff, but not crap. But if you take that all away, it's basically like a Zelda.
Yeah. And that's okay. You know, that might be a different avenue that they can explore. I totally would not mind like a really arcadey Devil May Cry type of 3D one. I really wouldn't mind that at all. Or give me a friggin' high def, you know, Metroidvania. Hell yeah, I'd be all over any of those.
High def would be awesome. The only reason I wouldn't go the way of God of War, Devil May Cry is because I think that genre is getting pretty saturated right now, and then it would just be making another one of those games slapping on the Castlevania license. Whereas I go back to Castlevania now because it's still kind of old school and different feeling, but I haven't played the 3D one, so I can't really compare those ones to them. But
yeah,
I think your idea about the whole Zelda-ish type of like action RPG maybe-ish might work.
That'd be kinda... Bring back the adventure, damn it.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. It needs something like Mario, up to Mario World, Raw Side Scrollers, all great games. But when it made the jump to 3D, it still felt like Mario. And I guess, like, maybe it doesn't so much when you're going from the 2D Castlevania to the 3D ones. Like I said, I haven't played the 3D one, so I don't really know. Chris would probably have a better idea of that. But I get from the understanding I've heard is that it doesn't really feel like a Castlevania game.
And I personally think Curse of Darkness does, but only because Curse of Darkness feels like kind of like the 3D Metroidvania type. Because you do have the different weapons, you do have the different locales, you do have the exploration, and you do level up and that kind of thing. But it's still it's a 3D game. So in that sense, yeah, you do. But like Lament did not necessarily feel like a Castlevania game in as a whole. You know, I mean, it does because you're using a whip, but that's the only reason.
Which is the newer one?
The newer one is Curse of Darkness.
Okay.
And as far as like the N64 ones, I tried to play those and I couldn't really get into them. I have the first one. The second one, I think I played like once and I don't know, I just can't do it. But the PS2 ones are good, but you know, Lament just doesn't really, it's kind of that in-between area. It doesn't really feel like Castlevania. Mm-hmm. And Curse of Darkness is, in my opinion, not necessarily as good of a game as Lament, but it does feel more like Castlevania.
Good to know.
Well, I've got one more email, but I'm going to save it till about the end. Okay. Whatever you guys.
I was going to think maybe even a 2D side scroller and a 3D. Like a 3D side scroller, like something like Einhander did with shooters.
Oh.
Or like Pandemonium, if you guys remember that game. For PS1.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
It's basically 3D. It's all made with polygons, so they don't necessarily have to do it that way, but the camera angle changed, but you stayed on a 2D plane.
Yeah, okay.
That might not change it enough, but it would be something a little bit different. I don't know if that would work out, though, because, I don't know, like platforming and stuff. I don't know.
For me, it's kind of hard to say, because I haven't... It's like, I don't mind where they've taken the series, and like each different genre, as Jason put it, you know, I liked all the games, you know. I mean, there are some that obviously I liked a lot better than others, but, you know, I would not be against, another 3D game if it was like Curse of Darkness. Mm-hmm. I would not be against another 3D game if it was like, Lament of Innocence. But I do really want a new 2D game. I mean, I really want a new 2D game, and I would love for it to be old school, but have much more of what Rondo had to offer, where there are multiple paths and you do find different things based on those paths and that kind of thing. And the different paths are more challenging. I mean, I would really like to see something like that. As far as something fresh, it's hard for me to say because I love what they're doing so much already. It's like all the Castlevania games out there. I mean, most of them I've played and I liked. So it's like I don't really have many complaints about the series. But, you know, I would love to see something go back to the old school like that. And you know what? I would love to see something do... if they're going to do something 3D, make it Simon's Questy, sort of. Like make it you have to collect, like Simon's Quest, you had to collect the parts and then, you know, then you go after Dracula. I wouldn't mind something like that.
Yeah.
I think I know what I want now. Everyone talking. I want 2D side scroller. Old school or maybe even somewhat kind of Metroidvania-ish. Super crazy high def hand drawn sprites with everything, background, everything. Co-op.
Ooh, not hand drawn. Not hand drawn.
Sorry?
I'm interjecting. I don't want it to be hand drawn.
You don't want it to be hand-drawn? Because you think it'll be like anime or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm afraid it would look like
Street Fighter 2 HD? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe not hand-drawn. And co-op, because co-op's like the big thing. Everyone loves playing co-op games. But not the type of co-op where you're just simply on the same screen going through the same levels, where the level's actually designed for co-op.
Oh, something like Resident Evil, like 5.
Exactly. Okay, whereas you'll get points where you branch off, one character's got to go one way, and like this will be, of course, online or split screen, where they're going to do some part of the mission, you're doing to another part, you go back, and it's like kind of two different branching paths, but you meet up at certain points to do whatever, and you have to help each other out. Like, you get to a door where you can't open, and you have to wait for your partner to get to some point and like
that
pull some lever. Something
that could
something
so
like
work
that.
For a Castlevania.
I think that'd be
game.
Pretty cool.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, because it,
you stole
I mean,
my
that's...
fucking candle, man. That was my candle.
You ate my meat. Fuck. Oh, that was my roast.
But yeah, that would definitely work for a Castlevania game because, I mean, one of the big things is that there's doors that open in different spots in the castles and stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean, that would be awesome. Yeah, you're right. That's nice. Very nice.
I like that.
If they can bring in those King of Fighter 12 kids,
oh, yeah.
Then it can be hand-drawn. Then I'm okay with that.
That'd be cool.
I'm just like, it's easy to fuck up hand-drawn sprites.
That's true. But we're all in agreement we don't want to see first person.
Oh, no.
Damn it, you stole my answer. Spoiled it. Totally wanted a first person. No.
Mirror's Edge style with a whip.
No.
So, we're going to start wrapping up?
Sure.
I thought we just did.
Cool.
I think we had one more email.
Yeah, we had one more email that actually just nullifies pretty much friggin' everything we just said. This one's from Scott Sauer. Also
Alrighty.
Known as Bitch Pig from Welcome to the Goo. He says, "Hey, fellas. In answer to your question of the week, does Castlevania need something fresh? I say hell fucking no. What it desperately needs is to go back to 2D awesomeness of Symphony of the Night." I guess that's all I have to say. Great show. Congrats on the nomination.
So, oh, thanks.
Thank you.
I will not argue with going back to the 2D awesomeness that was Symphony of the Night. I will not argue.
Well, you're playing the 2D awesomeness of Symphony of the Night in Ecclesia.
That's
just different... name. I know it's a different game, but I mean, it's the same thing.
Put it on the PSP at least. I would rather see it on like PSN or a full retail game.
I would rather
something
see that
my hands fit on. Quit making the shit for the DS. Let's do some multi-platform.
All right. Well, Jason, what's your wrap up? We did ours.
It's tough, you know. And I go back to what Cade said, and that you know, I really don't know what it needs. I would like to see. So many different ones, you know, because I think it has split off into different genres. So I'd be okay with whatever. I just want them to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's an easy kind of a cop out answer, but
just do it right.
I don't know what else to say. Just do it right, you know.
Well, I can say that the 360 PS3 version, whichever one I end up getting, it will probably be day one. I mean, there's pretty much no doubt about that.
I'm sure.
I've been waiting for a console Castlevania since, you know. I've been hoping for a really good console Castlevania since Symphony of the Night. And, you know, I got Lament and Curse of Darkness, and they're good, but still want them to reach that level of perfection that they had with Symphony.
The one I was looking forward to the most got canned, so my Dreamcast never got its Castlevania. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I guess that kind of probably turned into one of the PS2 ones, so.
Probably. I don't know. I'd have to... look that up.
If they do go old school, let me control the jump.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, that's right. You couldn't, could you?
Mm-mm.
You could jump straight up or like forward. And, you know,
that was it. It was that's key.
And can I climb the fucking stairs a little faster, please? Jesus Christ.
That's the thing. If they do go old school, there's a lot of things that they need to make. You know, because Simon Belmont and all the Belmonts are supposed to be these badass vampire hunters, but they can't grab a ledge and climb up.
Well, no, they could. They wouldn't have to go. I wouldn't suggest them go back to old school like Bionic Commando did and keep basically the basis of the gameplay the same.
Gameplay.
Just up, like make everything so you can you know hang on ledges, pull yourself up on ledges, you know, shimmy like down ropes or whatever, like. Crawl across the ceiling with your hands, whatever. Do all that kind of cool stuff that you can do now in like 2D scrollers. I just want it back to being like level based, basically.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just more straightforward and linear, but with branching stuff.
But
unless
with
they
branches.
Unless they
straightforward and linear, but with branches. And stuff.
but with branches.
Basically, not the metric.
Multiple
not
characters,
with,
but
not
none.
With the game. Now, in the second half of the game is the whole first half of the game upside down and backtracking. That is, just don't do that. I don't like that. That's not, no. Doesn't make me.
I know Chris liked it, but I thought it was just a cheap way to get additional replay value out of it.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
And if they stay the same, give it a couple years and release the game in the fucking winter. Stop putting them out in the fall when they're going to get lost in the shuffle like they always do with me. So I play them for a week and then move on to something else. That's what I'm blaming it on.
Cool.
Right now. Third here first.
All right.
Cool.
I still don't know what I want, but
I don't either. And that's the thing. It's like I could honestly, I'm really interested in what Jeff was talking about.
Yeah, as I'm saying, I'm sticking to it. Until that comes out, I'm not playing Castlevania ever again. Hear that, Konami?
Get it done.
You're listening.
Get it done. Pretty sure Konami doesn't listen to our show.
No, I'm pretty sure they don't. And I totally will play another Castlevania game. In fact, this whole conversation makes me want to play some Castlevania before I go to bed. So I think I might bust out Portrait of Ruin.
Cool. Yeah, it's I very much enjoyed it. You know, I remember the when we talked about, when I was talking about that one, it was when I was away in Florida and I beat the whole damn game while I was down there. Just couldn't stop playing it.
You're hardcore, yo.
No, it's insane, just when you have just your PSP and your DS, you look for something and you get addicted. So,
gotcha.
Cool. All
right.
All right. Let's blitz through this new release list then, shall we?
Yes.
All right. So, Jeff brought something up, Jason, and I wanted to get your opinion. With all this crap that comes out on the Nintendo systems, because, you know, they're all about the gamer, right? He said that we should just mention the important releases for, like, you know, more hardcore releases. What do you think? Or should we just go through all the shit?
Anything that I can insert sexual innuendo to. Make sure that you name those, because that's funny. I'm pretty good at it, so you may as well just do the whole list.
All right. We'll go through the whole list then. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yep.
For the Wii, Dora the Explorer. Dora Saves the Snow Princess.
I like to explore Dora.
My daughter watches that. I can't. Okay. Go on. Next one.
Go, Diego, go. Great Dinosaur Race. Does your daughter watch that too?
Doesn't Lisa call you Diego sometimes?
What?
No. Yeah, nothing.
You always say something when I can't hear you. Fucking bastard. Okay. Monopoly Here and Now, the World Edition. All-Star Cheer Squad. There you go, Jeff. There's your pick of the week.
I remember them.
My Sims Kingdom. Twin Strike Operation Thunder.
Oh, yes.
Monster Jam Urban Assault.
Uh-huh.
Barry White voice anything. It's sexual innuendo.
Ben 10 Alien Force. Nerf End Strike. Really? A Nerf video game? Really?
I like Nerf guns.
But a video game? You want to shoot
it's
darts at a board?
No. Okay. I'll go buy a real Nerf gun.
Exactly.
The office.
What the hell's the point? FIFA Soccer 2009. Pets Horses Z. Club. What the fuck? All right.
I'm waiting for that one, Jason.
TV show King Party.
Chibi what?
Chibi what? TV show King Party. Baja 1000 Score International. Shrek's Carnival Craze. Six Flags Fun Park. There we go.
Yes!
Hey, go to one.
Ultimate I Spy.
Oh, rewind back. I think Six Flags. I think that was a Who Gives a Shit story like months ago.
Six Flags? Yeah,
Ultimate
it was.
Ultimate Brown Eye.
It was. Yeah. No.
Shit. All right.
Yep. Goosebumps Horrorland. Horrorland. Yes. Goosebumps Horrorland. Okay. All right. So for DS, more crap. The Wonder Pets. Save the Animals. Go Diego Go. Themselves. Great Dinosaur Race. Pets Rescue Wildlife Vet.
Was the wildlife vet in peril?
I guess so.
Okay.
All right. Do they really need four dummies games? Travel games for dummies. Come on. Rubik's World
for dummies.
Yeah. Rubik's World. Senses Rainforest. Senses Oceans. Whatever. And I should say
I take it back. Just skip the bad shit.
Okay,
I'm done.
Skip the bad
shit. I
can't
do it anymore.
All right, well, then we're done for the yes. Next.
All right.
360, MotoGP 08, Fallout 3.
Yes.
Scenic, Box Office Smash. Pro Evolution Soccer 2009. Baja 1000 Score International, and High School Musical 3, Senior Year Dance.
I thought you were skipping this stuff.
I meant for the Nintendo systems, man. It's fun to see the shit on the other systems. For me, anyway. PS3, Little Big Planet. Hopefully it's really coming out this
week. That was supposed to come out last week.
It was supposed to come out.
It was this week. It's supposed to be out right now.
Jeff, did you hear the song that they're cutting out?
I haven't heard it new.
It's actually really catchy.
Really? I heard it won a Grammy or something like that.
It may have. Oh. All right. Anyway, Fallout 3, SingStar Volume 2, Baja 1000 Score International, Motor Storm Pacific Rift, and MotoGP 08.
Did you guys play the Motor Storm?
I haven't.
I played the demo, yes. It was the same demo that came out for Core, actually.
Which I just finished downloading last night, actually.
It's Motor Storm.
Okay.
I forgot to mention that.
That's not necessarily a bad thing, that's for sure.
No, not at all. True. I love Motor Storm. I really like Motor Storm, so I'm not...
Can I use the bikes whenever the hell I want?
You can use the bikes. I don't know if you can in the actual game. I know in the demo you can, so I don't know.
If not, no sale.
Cool.
No.
Wow.
It was fun.
I'm not going to buy it right away anyway. So.
No, it'll be a...
It'll be a greatest hit in like 6 months, so I'll probably buy it then. Let's see. PS2. Skip the shit. Oh! King of Fighters, Orochi Saga.
Cool.
And Pro Evolution Soccer 2009. MotoGP 08. There we go. Everything else is getting skipped.
That's it. Alrighty.
PSP, Neverland Card Battles, King of Fighters, Orochi Saga, and Pro Evolution Soccer 2009. Mm-hmm. So that's your new release list. Let's see. Cool. Pick of the week.
This is a tough one because we picked Little Big Planet the
last
time.
Week. I know. So
Fallout 3.
I got to say Fallout 3. Even though I'm probably not going to buy it, I got to say Fallout 3.
Hey, I threw you guys a curveball because I'm still going with Little Big Planet. Yeah.
Oh.
Jeff for the win.
Wuss.
You're so unoriginal, Jeff.
You're not picking Motor Storm Pacific Rift?
No.
Oh, wait. That's right. What he really wants is Nerf and Strike. Forgot.
That's true.
Dude, if you get it, I'll get it. We'll play
online
in the same room.
Online Nerf battle.
Like, I'll have to fly there. You can fly here. Whatever. We'll do some multiplayer.
Sounds good.
Or something. Not in the same game. I'm not going to get it. Never mind.
Jason, do we have any other emails?
Hey, we got a couple, actually. Who the hell? Dizzy? Oh, my God.
Hey.
I haven't heard from this dude in forever.
Oh.
Dizzy.
That's right.
He's got a hard on for Jeff. Just an email to let you guys know that I'm still a loyal and alive listener, and that if you put fish in lemonade, it blows up.
What?
Also, the most healthy food for a fish is fish.
Lemonade. Oh.
This is apparently random facts from Dizzy. A full moon is 8 times brighter than a half moon.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Love, as always, Dizzy XXXXXXXXXX. I think he just wants me to say sex.
I think so.
You have a one-track mind, man. You're a sick, sick individual. He also sent a song, which I'm not going to play because he just wanted me to play it to make people cry. It's Hurt from Johnny Cash. I'm already welling up, so I don't want to put everyone else through that.
Thank you.
Is that fish thing true with the lemonade?
I have no idea.
That
would Dizzy lie to us?
Now he wants to try it. He's like, I'm going to go buy a goldfish and see what happens.
Oops, I put lemonade in this tank and I kind of attempted, actually. I'll check YouTube first, see if someone else is on it.
There you go.
All right, I've got another email here. This is from Ricky Duty, Eamon, and apparently we are the goo
because
he's got like a little follow-up rebuttal. This is in relation to last week's feature question of the week. After hearing episode 48, there's some stuff that I kind of want to give my opinion on. Industry said that the industry standard for 3D modeling is Maya in gaming. That is not true. The standard is 3DS Max. Even though 3DS Max company bought Maya, they're still two different entities for the time being. Even though that is a standard, there are a lot of places that use Lightwave or similar software for 3D modeling. There are even places that will accommodate you depending on the software that you use, and they'll export the 3D files into the engine that they're using. Also, small gaming companies may use one person with different skills to do different stuff, but for the most part, developers will stay in coding, and designers will stay in design, and the artists will do art. Different combinations that you will see are the following. Devs working on design, since they wrote the engine, they know how it works. Artists working as designers, because building 3D environments is similar to building them in 3D. Plus, rigging and animation are part of the artist's job, or at least in my curriculum at school. He's got more. Also, demo package is 70% of your entry into any job in the industry, and resume is the last 30%. It's probably pretty accurate. Your demo needs to show your experience in the industry. If your demo is great, your resume will be useless for the most part. So always remember to put your best work in your demo, kids. He didn't say kids. I said kids. Let's see. Getting out of college doesn't guarantee you a job. I'm summarizing here. Because I think
I'm like, yada, yada, Amy.
Sorry. Well, he's only halfway through the email, Jeff.
Wow.
And Industria, you're learning Maya in your school because you're working in the Unreal Engine 3. I worked with Unreal Engine 2 when I was in school while learning Maya. Unreal Engine is designed around the software, and it's easier to export the objects created in Maya to the engine. I thought it was pretty similar, actually. And for those who don't know, I have an associate's degree in 3D animation and visual effects. Let's see. Oh, and Jason, I have a classmate that went to the Full Sail presentation, and he said he hated it because it looked like a concert. Holy shit, it really was. I'm not kidding. Like, they actually had... this is me now. They actually had some lady come out and give, like, a half-hour presentation to the parents saying, we know it's really expensive, but, you know, 5, 10, 20 years down the road, you'll be recouping the costs from your... I'm like, wow. Okay. And that was followed up with smoke and lights and a band playing. Anyway. What was he saying? Oh, if you go to the Dave School Tour, what's that? The Digital Arts Video Editing, I think. I think it's down in Florida, the cool school. You will see that what they tell you and show you is all student-created movies and content. They show you students at work and their facilities. They only accept around 60 students every 3 months, and it's pretty expensive. Ricky paid $24,500 for his class. Totally worth it, though. Anyway, that's signed Ricky.
Cool.
Thank you, Ricky.
He had lots of info to rebut with.
Yes, he did. We're going to get to see some of his work pretty soon, aren't we?
Yeah, a little bit.
Cool.
Yeah, eventually.
Look forward to that.
How's that going?
Oh, I wasn't in tears last night or anything. Having a nervous breakdown when my project file got corrupted or anything like that. No. Yeah.
For real? That sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
Yeah, it does. Thanks for bringing me back, Jeff.
Sorry. Bad Jeff. You know what? I'll fly down there. We'll dress up, and I'll pretend to be someone else that was there, and we'll just reenact everything.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
All
right. Last person I want to see right now. Even if you are in a dress. All right, we're totally off topic. I'm sorry. Let's wrap this. Let's train wreck up.
All right.
Wait, I think I've got... No, wait. Oh, shit.
What?
I thought I had some random questions from Aces High. I thought I lost them or something, and I'm looking... No, I don't have any.
Nope.
Got nothing. No random questions from Aces High. Nothing for you guys.
Yeah,
sorry.
Boo.
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 Well, then I guess we should just go straight to the question of the week and end this show.
Sounds good.
So, question of the week next week is, in this generation of consoles, is there a difference between a beta and a demo? Mm. A lot of companies are handing out demos left and right for games, and it's some people might think it's starting to get a little hazy. The difference.
A little bit crazy out there.
Yep. So you can send the answer to the question of the week to email at interactivedistractions.com, or you can send us a voicemail. You can do that by either sending us an MP3 to the formerly mentioned email address, or you can leave us a message on Skype, Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase.
Nice. A little extension there. Google Talk, interactivedistractions at gmail.com.
It wasn't bad.
Let's see. Don't forget Warhawk Wednesdays.
Tell a few friends about us. If you feel like it, go out and leave us an iTunes review. Don't forget our Facebook group. And
Facebook. Because we're all fake friends.
Say?
You said Facebook.
Facebook. It's fake. It's not real. It's fake book.
There are Facebook friends.
They're fake friends in our book.
We love each and every one of you.
I know. We do, really.
We trade Christmas cards, really.
Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
Come by the forums and check out some of the events we've got going on. We've got a lot of stuff planned. We really like to get some more entries for the contest, and we're always welcoming more suggestions for the MMO project. So come by the forums and drop us a line.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, with that, I think we're done with episode 49. So we thank you guys for listening, and
big
until 5-0. Next week. What?
It's a big 5-0 next week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Has it been that long? Jesus. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening, and until next week, I am Chris.
And I'm Jason.
And I am Geoff.
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 Thanks for listening. Play a lot of games, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. See ya.
Laters.
Taters.
Doodle-doo. Bop.
Doodle-a-doo.
I don't know.
Doodle-a-doo. Doodle-a-doo. Bop. Oh, you know, Jason, I got to send you a couple of...
It's over! On the internet, you can't hear me picking my nose.
Oh, fuck, I wish I was editing this one.
It's because I was doing the exact same thing. Oh, dude, I almost jammed my brain.
All right, we're good. We're clear.
Oh, shit.